go into this book thinking hopefully they just feel slightly more unstable in their sort of neat principles about things.
Rachel Cockrell there, speaking with Rachel Johnson. You can download the latest episode, Difficult Women, wherever you get your podcasts, where you also need to download The Nick Abbott Habit and What's Your Problem with Nick and Carol. Thanks for all of your calls and messages today. I'm back Sunday afternoon from 3. If you missed any of this evening's show, listen back on our free Global Player app or the LBC app, where you can stay up to date with all of the latest news, videos and opinion. That's the LBC app. Download it for free from your app store now. At 1 on LBC, it's Clive Ball, but first is Nick Abbott.
Thank you very much, Henry. Russia beats the world in a war game conducted by NATO countries, which means either they're lying in order to fool Vladimir Putin, or they'd rather let the cat out of the bag. Jim Ratcliffe answers the question, do you get the face you deserve? And Fagash says you will not be able to work from home under a Reform Party government. This is the same Reform Party that advertised for staff to work from home. They will be able to work from home, but you won't. Under a Reform government. Good to know. That and more with me, Nick Abbott, after the new news at 10 on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, the Prime Minister has welcomed the sentencing of two men jailed for at least 63 years between them over a plot to attack Jewish people in Manchester. 38-year-old Walid Zardawi and Amir Hussein, who's 52, were caught after unknowingly telling an undercover agent about their plans. LBC's Liam Gotting was following the case at Preston Crown Court.
The prosecution said that the pair were willing to kill several hundred people, and had it happened, it would have been a mass slaughter. The judge in this case said that Zardawi and Hussein's planned attack would have resulted in the deaths of people of all ages, including children, and added that the realization that there are people like this in our society determined to carry out these kind of attacks will make people feel unsafe and uneasy.
French police have opened fire on a man who tried to attack an officer with a knife in Paris. It happened near the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier at the Arc de Triomphe. The government says it will appeal after the High Court ruled a ban on Palestine action under terrorism legislation was unlawful. Judges say the former Home Secretary's decision was a significant interference with the right to freedom of speech. The Prime Minister says Britain and Europe depend on each other to provide security. Keir Starmer's arrived at the Munich Security Conference as questions continue over the United States' commitment to NATO. Dr. Ian Lesser is from the German Marshall Fund, which promotes transatlantic cooperation. He's been telling LBC Ukraine will also be a major talking point.
President Zelensky is scheduled to appear. This is a huge issue. It's issue, in many ways, issue number one beyond just what's happening in Washington. But then there are a whole set of other things. I mean, it's Iran. It's what's happening with China. It's the nexus between trade and security. It's about nuclear strategy and arms control. We just had some major arms control agreement that expired the other day.
A man from Norfolk who coerced, pressurized and manipulated three women into sending him videos of child abuse has been jailed for 26 years. 49-year-old Elliot Jones from Necton has been sentenced at Winchester Crown Court for 21 offences. The Independent MP and former Reform politician Rupert Lowe says he's launching a new political party. The Great Yarmouth representative says it will be called Restore Britain. In the city, the FTSE 100 closed up 43 points at 10,446. The pound will buy $1.36 and €1.14. LBC weather clear for most areas, with wintry showers for the northeast and parts of Northern Ireland. Patchy rain and snow will clear the south of England overnight. We'll see a low of around minus 2 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
Hi, honey, how are you?
Well, let's get back to it.
An Arctic blast of very cold air will this weekend bring snow, sleet, hail, freezing rain and icy conditions across most of the UK. Snow?
Oh, no.
The Met Office issued new yellow warnings for wintry conditions and potential travel disruption lasting until Sunday morning.
Warning!
Two warnings. An Arctic maritime air mass is bringing colder conditions from the north of Scotland land southwards. And the wintry conditions could mean hazardous ice on untreated roads and pavements, a forecaster said. They said that if you do have to drive in these conditions, that you should turn your headlights out and use just your fog lights, and make sure that you lean your seat back so you can only just see over the steering wheel. Of course, if you're driving an Audi hatchback, you will already be doing this.
Thank you.
The Met Office said the wintry weather was the result of an Arctic maritime air mass bringing colder conditions from the north of Scotland southwards, because it comes over here. And it comes after a particularly wet start to the year, with rivers bursting their banks, hundreds of properties flooded, and rain falling every single day in some areas. And will continue to fall every single day for the foreseeable future in one particular area, I bet. I betcha, betcha, betcha. One moment, please, checking while you wait. Aha!
What?
Not raining at the moment in Glasgow. Pfft, rubbish. It will neither be raining tomorrow, when you'll actually get sun. Can you believe that?
No.
It'll be raining on Sunday, though, and raining on Monday, and not raining on Tuesday. That's suspicious. Raining on Wednesday, raining on Thursday, raining on Friday, raining on Saturday, raining on Sunday, and the following Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and every day for the rest of your lives.
Damn it!
Oh, well, never mind. It's what you voted for. It's not just Glasgow, though. People in parts of Devon and Cornwall and Worcestershire have had rain for 40 days in a row. And Aberdeen had 21 days of sunless weather until finally it came out for about 30 minutes on Thursday afternoon.
Oh, fabulous.
So, given all that, would you like to hear the long-range forecast for the next 4 weeks?
No.
No, I'll take it. So, now until the end of the month. Showers or longer spells of rain and sometimes strong winds, with some snow at times in the north and feeling cold. And then, first 2 weeks of March. March already. Where is the time going? It's almost time to celebrate Jesus' rebirthday. First 2 weeks of March. It might get colder, but it looks like we'll have periods of drier, more settled weather. Periods of drier, more settled weather? We'll take it! Email from Gary in Nottingham says, I think I have found that elusive item for your Trump bingo card. There's a there's a photo of Donald Trump wearing a Top Gun-style bomber jacket and an admiral's cap on a visit to a naval base. Does that count as appearing in military uniform? As it says in your book, a copy of which I have have beside my bed, ready to read when my phone charger no longer works. The jacket that Trump is wearing has so much material, it seems to be made out of a parachute. And it has Commander-in-Chief written on it, which is both factually accurate and completely absurd, says Gary. Naturally, it angered naval veterans who felt he had no right to wear it, but why would their views be important? In the Navy. I bet that's his second favourite song. Does this make the list, says Gary in Nottingham. Thank you for your attention to this matter.
Thank you.
Yes, it most certainly does, but I'll have to double-check it. But as that is homework, I'll just take your word for it. Email from Kevin in Hereford says, it's about time we had a PM who has decency, honesty and integrity and who is in tune with the great British public. Sadly, I think I may have to wait a very long time, says Kevin. Well, I think if you get to the position of being PM, then being in tune with the British public is something you've left behind a long time ago, because it takes all sorts of weird character traits to want to be the Prime Minister of a country. Ain't that right, Bodger?
I can't comment on that. I
very, very weird characteristics of their personality to want to lead a country. Ain't that right, Liz?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Very weird. Odd, in fact. Curiously strange. Adrian says, I've never watched Breaking Bad or The Sopranos or any of these type of shows people bang on about. I just think if I did, they'd never live up to the hype. You know that ice cream that everybody's talking about? Yeah, no, I don't want any of that. No, it can't possibly be that nice. You know that sensual interface that people keep talking about?
Disgusting.
Yeah, I'm not going to try that. It'll be a letdown. All these messages come in already. Look at this. I haven't even started yet. Already I'm snowed under. Sue says, imagine it's 100 years into the future. The quiz show Mastermind is still going, and one of the contestants picks the presidency of Donald Trump as their specialist subject. Can you or any of your listeners suggest what sort of questions would come up? That's Sue, who doesn't actually have... is not a listener with material, but she wants to encourage others who are. Here's some alarming news. It's not new exactly, but, you know, no one's done anything about it apart from make it worse. Scientists have warned British winters could get even worse.
Oh, no.
Even worse than this. Climate change is making the planet warmer, experts say, but it could destabilise key weather patterns that currently protect the UK from freezing extremes.
What?
Yeah. I'm sorry, what? Climate change is making the planet warmer, says the Daily Mail. Isn't that a bit woke for them? Actually admitting that there is such a thing as climate change. I thought they were likely to admit that as to use a unisex toilet.
Disgusting.
It's the Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation, which is the thing to be concerned about. It's a massive ocean current that powers the Gulf Stream, driving warm tropical waters northwards to the UK, without which we'd all be freezing our faces off. If this key current, the Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation, were to collapse, experts predict that London would see winter extremes of minus 20 degrees centigrade. Holy moly, with 3 months of the year spent below freezing. Can you imagine? I mean, this country falls on its face after a little light dusting of snow. You imagine 3 months spent below zero and extremes of minus 20 degrees centigrade. Temperatures in Edinburgh could fall to 1 in 10 year extremes of minus 30, as Scotland faces 5.5 frozen months, 5.5 months frozen each year.
What?
Oh, struth! I mean, the cost of fixing that or mitigating the losses that would be involved with that are just off the scale. I mean, it is terrifying, isn't it? I mean, you've seen how we cope with the light snow. You imagine being up to our armpits in this stuff for almost half the year. These extremes are no longer an entirely remote possibility, as scientists have warned that the imminent collapse of the Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation is increasingly likely. And I've got this story out of the Daily Mail in what I can only assume was an editorial mistake, because it's not the sort of stuff that they would normally even address, let alone print. Professor Tim Lenton, a leading climate scientist from Exeter University, told the Daily Mail, the possibility of an Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation collapse is already non-zero, and it increases with global warming. He said, at 2 degrees centigrade of global warming, the odds of AMOC collapse are comparable to Russian roulette, a 1 in 6 chance of a highly damaging outcome. But an oily charlatan in Union Jack Sarks, who is funded by the oil and gas industry, said that global warming is a hoax and that trying for net zero emissions is stupid, so I'm convinced. But it's happening now. Scientists have already observed that the AMOC, the Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation, has slowed due to human-caused changes in the climate. But there are now concerns that it could be driven into total collapse. And if this were to happen, the UK would no longer benefit from the warming effects of tropical waters. It would mean that winters would get colder, even as climate change increased the average temperature of the planet. Counterintuitive, no?
Yes.
Everywhere else would get warmer and we would get colder.
Oh, fabulous.
You believe that? According to one climate model, the UK would be 6 degrees colder by 2050 if the AMOC collapse took place in 2030. And, fact fans, 2030 is just 6 years away. I'm just checking on that. Yeah. It is. I always have to look down at the bottom right-hand corner of my computer screen to remember what year it is. I mean, I could guess, but best to look it up, I think. We only like to deal with the facts on this show. Summer rainfall would plummet under these circumstances, and winter rainfall would increase by 20%. So we'd get drought in the summer and floods in the winter and freezing, blowing cold most of the time. Mostly. A northern city like Edinburgh would face 164 days with minimum temperatures below freezing. That's almost half the year. And expanding sea ice could cover parts of the British Isles, and we'd also get more winter storms. Did I mention the part about expanding sea ice covering parts of the British Isles? Two recent studies published by British and Dutch researchers suggest there is a greater than 50% chance of AMOC collapse, and that the current may start to collapse at around 2060. More than 50% chance. And we're just we're thinking about those odds. Yeah, I quite like those odds. More than 50% chance of the entire planet having to reorient itself, to pick up its sticks and move to higher ground, or lower ground, or just somewhere else entirely. Two recent studies say that the current may collapse at around 2060. I mean, it sounds like it's way off into the sci-fi future, but 2060 is 34 years from now. It's not science fiction, it's science fact. Not sci-fi, sci-fa.
Correct.
One of my favourite lines from Third Rock from the Sun, which I maintain is the funniest sitcom ever. And John Lithgow's performance is probably the best performance in a sitcom, and I include Sergeant Bilko in that. You know, but all of this, it's not what the fury miners who read the Daily Mail usually get from their paper. I've been holding this over for a couple of weeks now. So I wondered what they would make of this sudden outburst of concern for the planet and not for the profit margin of the oil companies. And it's just as you would expect. If you look down to the comment section, people and a lot of bot accounts run by Singaporean con artists rage-baiting elderly Brits for money were all agreed. All of this is woke. Therefore, they can ignore it. Because that'll upset the libs. What a way to run a planet, eh?
Dreadful.
0345 6060 973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
This is LBC.
With the Little Plus Bakery Spin, you can get a free bakery coupon every time you shop. Just scan Little Plus at the checkout, spin, win, and enjoy a free bakery item. Lidl, more to value. One spin per customer per day, subject to availability, ends 25th of Feb, 18 plus GB only. T's and C's apply, see lidl.co.uk/LPTV.
Big motoring world are big on choice. But what does that mean for you? Well, we have thousands of cars in stock. So let's say you want a Mini, an electric one. In black, with a panoramic roof, Apple CarPlay, heated leather seats, rear view camera. Yep, there it is. Being big means we're more likely to have the right car for you. Big Motoring World, we're big on choice. See website for nearest store.
How does a $20 golf gadget end up being used as a bomb detector in war zones worldwide? I'm Alice Levine, and this is Explosive Lies, the podcast exposing a scam that fooled governments and security services across the globe. Open our free Global Player app and search Explosive Lies to start listening today.
A Thameslink train is a place where you can have more me time. A chance to skip traffic and glide to wherever you need to be. With headspace to focus on more important matters. Like if that cloud is a starfish or sunflower. Fast journeys without the rush with great deals at thameslinkrailway.com. Terms apply.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
This guy is sick. There's something wrong with this guy.
Yeah, and there's a picture that my glamorous assistant has found of Donald Trump in what passes for military attire, I suppose. I mean, he's wearing a jacket made of nylon. It looks like the approximate same size as that tarpaulin that they use to cover the outside courts at Wimbledon when it rains. It looks like two jackets sewn together.
Don't be rude.
Just saying. 0345 6060 973. Mirtha Tidfill. Hello, Jeff.
Hiya, Nick.
Hey, there's a story about a pub in Wales, but it's not the you know where. There's a story about a pub in Wales, and I don't think it's around your manor. It's in one moment, please, caller. Your call is important to us. It's okay. Ah, Glan Ir Avon pub at the heart of Pennal Village in North Wales.
With your pronunciation has left me confused.
Oh, shut up. That's absolutely perfect. Are you kidding me? Glan Ir Avon.
Glan Ir Avon.
That's what I said.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Well, did you see Trump and his beautiful call? It's not call anymore. It's beautiful call.
Oh, yeah.
And they give him this stupid little figurine, which he hugged and was really pleased with. It appealed to the infantile brain that he's got.
Yes.
And he was surrounded by these people all cheering him, all miners, as far as I gather.
Miners. Owners of mines might be cheering, but the miners, I bet, were forced to do it under pain of being fired. I don't know whether that's true. I'm just asking questions.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's... everybody is telling him that China has turned the corner and more of its electricity and it's just achieving all this. And he's just turned around and done it. And today, wasn't it, or yesterday, he's done this, which is just totally throw it out the window and say, forget this. This is a hoax. This is nonsense.
Yeah, it's a scam. It's these are thoughts echoed by a certain pair of oily charlatans in this country.
Yep.
Wearing Union Jack socks.
Yeah, in 1964, I was in Swansea University with a lecture about global warming from carbon emissions.
Mm.
Now, what more can anybody do except say,
the oil companies have known in much the same way as the cigarette companies did research, found that their product was undeniably killing its customers, and then they pretended that that research didn't exist and they covered it up. The oil companies did the precise same thing. Their own research has told them that their product is killing it's not killing the planet, it's affecting our ability to live the life that we have fashioned on this planet. Yeah. I mean, you know, when we're gone, the planet will do just fine. It'll be covered in ivy and cockroaches, which might not be to our taste, but, you know, the planet will probably be in a greater, better state after we've gone than it is at the moment, gasping for breath. So it's our position on the planet that we are threatening. The oil companies have known this since, I think, the 1970s. And they covered it up and pretended that that research doesn't exist.
Yep. Well, I have noted that Reform have certainly torn their usual bull about all, you know, the way they carry on. They shout and yell and perform. And they were, it's a hoax, it's nonsense.
Yeah.
Now, they've toned that down. Have you noticed?
Have they? No, I have not noticed that.
It's not they torn it down. They don't want to talk about it.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? They used to be very vocal about it.
My impression was that they still are. I mean, Tice keeps coming out with that sad phrase that he thinks is cues, I imagine, or that he thinks is the moment in a winning argument. He says net stupid zero, and then he does his little self-satisfied grin.
Yeah, but they leave it at that. They don't. They just say net zero.
Right.
We should be using our resources of oil and natural resources to put carbon into the atmosphere to transfer over into more renewable energy.
And they say that we must keep burning oil because it will cost too much if we don't. We'll lose all of that money that is, you know, underneath the North Sea or whatever, and it'll cost a lot to change cars so they're all electric, and it'll cost a lot to put solar panels on the roof, and it'll cost a lot to put windmills in fields and so on, but it won't cost nothing at all compared to the cost of not doing all of the above.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, Reform, of course, Farage was on today with Nick Robinson, and he was saying that the elections coming up in Wales and in Scotland and in the English boroughs and all the rest of it, the result of it will decide him going into being Prime Minister, which everybody is forecasting, which is absolute nonsense.
What do you mean it will decide him? What does that mean?
Oh, well, he runs the show, doesn't he? He's put this guy into Wales as the leader of reform in Wales and promptly said that if there's any disagreement between us, we'll go into a back room and we'll decide in private and then announce in public.
Right. Well, decide in private to do whatever Nigel Farage says.
Exactly. And the guy was sitting there looking at him with his mouth open. Some bloke, Dan Thomas or something, that he was in charge of Brent. He was a Conservative councillor in charge of Brent. And he's been parachuted into Wales to transform the Reform Party down here. And anyway, so that's coming up. It won't be long. In first week of May, that decision is being made in Scotland, Wales, and in those boroughs are going to affect his decision to go to be Prime Minister. So you can all look out.
Yeah. Okay. Right, I think he's decided already. I don't think it's going to affect his decision one way or the other. He's going to go for it, and practically the entirety of the British press is yearning for him to get inside number 10, which is very, very curious. I wonder why. But here's that story about Donald Trump. Trump on Thursday announced he was erasing the scientific finding that climate change endangers human health and the environment. Erasing the scientific finding that climate change endangers human health and the environment. Ending the federal government's legal authority to control the pollution that is dangerously heating the planet. He's like King Canute, you know, the dipstick that thought he could influence the tides. Same as Trump. He thinks that climate change won't get you if you don't believe it's a thing. Trust him. He's an idiot. The action is a key step in removing limits on carbon dioxide, methane and four other greenhouse gases that scientists say are supercharging heat waves, droughts, wildfires and other extreme weather. Led by a president who refers to climate change as a hoax, the administration is essentially saying that the vast majority of scientists around the world are wrong and that a hotter planet is not the menace that decades of research shows it to be. It's a rejection of fact that had been accepted for decades by presidents of both parties, including but not limited to Richard Nixon, whose top advisor warned of the dangers of climate change, and the first president, George Bush, who signed an international climate treaty. But Trump is smarter than all of those presidents, who are losers. Very sad. It's a knockout punch in the years-long fight by a small group of conservative activists, as well as oil, gas and coal interests, to stop the country from transitioning away from fossil fuels and towards solar, wind and other non-polluting energy. Always follow the money. The planet is being put at risk, or rather, our place on the planet is being put at risk by a few men who are already so unfathomably rich, they'll never be able to spend it all. I mean, can you imagine if it rained every day? That it never stopped? I mean, over the past month or so, you must have wondered, is it ever going to stop? Well, what if it didn't? What if extreme became the new normal? I mean, can you imagine what it would cost to protect every city on Earth that is near water? Which is almost all of them, because water is why places grow from nothing. I mean, if the water levels rise, the cost of fixing that is going to make funding actual world wars seem like spare change. It would be catastrophic. It would plunge the world into an economic catastrophe we can't even begin to imagine. And all of that's being put at risk of happening because a few men who run oil and gas companies can't bear to think that we will get our energy from a source they don't control. I mean, this is possibly the most dangerous thing that has ever been done by anyone in history, ignoring almost every scientist, ignoring our lived experience. I mean, the weather used to follow the news. Now it is the news. So let's remove rules about pollution and let's stop trying to get the sun and the wind and the waves to power our lives because some oil and gas companies have given money to the screaming Mimi.
Oh, shut up!
At issue is what is known as the endangerment finding, a 2009 scientific conclusion that greenhouse gas emissions pose a danger to Americans' health and welfare. And the finding was based on more than 200 pages of research and evidence. Trump, on the other hand, called climate scientists stupid people. And claimed on Thursday that the finding had no basis in fact. All of these scientists, said Trump, are stupid people.
I'm not a doctor.
He's not even a doctor. For nearly 17 years, Americans had relied on the bedrock finding to justify regulations that limit carbon dioxide, methane, and other pollution from oil and gas wells, tailpipes, smokestacks, and other sources that burn fossil fuels. And the repeal of the endangerment finding is expected to increase the country's greenhouse gas emissions by 10% over 30 years. But Donald Trump has done his research, and it's all a scam, apparently.
I know nothing.
The added pollution will lead to as many as 58,000 premature deaths and an increase of 37 million asthma attacks between now and 2055, said the Environmental Defense Fund. But on Fox Business News on TV on Wednesday, Doug Burgum, the Interior Secretary, revived a debunked myth to sum up how the Trump administration views carbon dioxide, the main greenhouse gas. He said, hard to believe that a grown-up would actually say this out loud. CO2 was never a pollutant, he said. When we breathe, we emit CO2. Plants need CO2 to survive and grow. They thrive with more CO2, he said. I think this is the Dunning-Kruger effect in action. Because, yes, carbon dioxide can help plants grow. The extraordinarily high levels in the atmosphere, however, are overwhelming natural processes and increasing the frequency and severity of drought and heat waves and other damaging events, according to scientists. It's like water is good for you, but not 32 pints of it. That'll kill you. I mean, either they are stupid or they assume that you are. Probably the latter, with a pinch of the former. It sounds like the sort of idiotic thing that some oily charlatan in Union Jack socks in this country would come out with. So good luck, everybody. Let's hope science is wrong and Donald Trump is as smart as he is nice.
Donald Trump is not a nice person.
We're doomed. 0345-6060-973. Text 84850. Email nick@lbc.co.uk. If you are on WhatsApp, it's the same number as the phone. 0345-6060-973. Just past 10:30 on LBC, the news headlines with Tim Daly.
The Prime Minister is welcoming the sentencing of two men jailed for at least 63 years between them over a plot to attack Jewish people in Manchester. 38-year-old Walid Sadawi and Amar Hussein, who's 52, were caught after unknowingly telling an undercover agent about their plans. Two men accused of murdering a retired 60-year-old who vanished in Leicester nearly 2 years ago have appeared in court. Officers investigating the disappearance of Gary Piontek have been searching a property in Evington, and Peter Mandelson's being asked to testify in the US over his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. Two members of the House of Representatives have written, saying they want him to answer questions from the House Oversight Committee. LBC weather clear for most areas, with wintry showers for the northeast and parts of Northern Ireland. Patchy rain and snow will clear the south of England overnight. We'll see a low of around minus 2 degrees.
LBC.
Sunlight's guaranteed over 50 plan. Gave confidence to Jane and Chris. With their insurance sorted, they're becoming naturists. Cutting loose in their birthday suits, feeling elegant and free. But when they answered the door, the postman saw more than he expected to see. Sunlight, a little confidence goes a long way. No medical questions and a cash payout. Search Sunlight Cover today.
Premiums paid could exceed the payment. Full cover after 1 year. Ages 49 to 85.
I'm going to tell you exactly what you need to do.
Dominate your finances.
Sunday morning, listening to questionable financial advice from the FinTok Bros on his social feed.
Drowning in green. Scale, 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 scale.
This is the moment Isaac chose to search Barclays Life Skills. Get some better money intel and save up for that new skateboard. We're helping young people become money confident. Search Barclays Life Skills. Barclays. Make money work for you.
All right, resistance up. Let's climb.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, my knee's playing up again.
Have you ever had it looked at?
No, but I've been doing a few stretches.
When my shoulder went, Benenden Health got me expert help. Showed me exactly where I was going wrong.
30 seconds, people.
Press play on your health with physiotherapy and much more. All for less than £16 per person per month. Search Benenden Health. Fee review periodically. T's and C's apply. Qualifying periods apply for some services, including physio. UK only. Visit benenden.co.uk.
I'm Leah, and this is my NHS story. I could just feel my body didn't feel right, and my GP referred me to the CDC. Had some blood tests done, and within 24 hours, I had my results. And that just reassured me that I was being taken seriously.
The government is opening new community diagnostic centres, with many already available 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, so the NHS can be there for all of us when we need it. Find your closest one at gov.uk/NHS Fit for the Future. Available England-wide.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Telling me what this is all about?
It's all about, it's all about the future of the planet. You know, nothing major. No big deal. Tavistock, hello, Rose.
Oh, hello, Nick.
Rose.
Well, I've had three letters from America.
Oh, yes.
And it's about your book. And the thing is, your style has really landed. My dear friend, I've got highlights here, and she won't mind. So, if I may...
Yes.
I'm so pleased I sent it, you see.
Now, hang on a minute. Did you buy it here and then send it in the post to America?
I did.
My book.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Much of which is somewhat critical.
Seditious.
Yes. Somewhat critical.
I felt so guilty. Anyway.
Of the screaming Mimi. Yeah, you're putting them in great danger. You understand that, don't you?
Oh, stop it. I'm going to tell you what she said, right? Oh, sorry. Glass is falling off. She begins, OMG.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. 12 exclamation marks. You've no doubt been... I know.
That's 11 too
60.
Many. Yeah.
You've no doubt been wondering if customs did confiscate your wonderful gift.
Mm.
Fear not, it arrived, and I have been laughing ever since. It is just what I needed. The picture on the front is, caps, hilarious.
Mm.
I will thoroughly enjoy and love it that it's by your buddy Nick.
Wow.
That was me. Thank you, dear one. We have to keep each other boosted in these hard times. It's really brightened my day. Then, briefly on day two, Nick, email praising Springsteen again. Then, I can't seem to put the book down, and read excerpts to, that's her, then her partner's name on the phone. You can't open a page without laughing. Finally, day three, to all her many friends, a lot about Minneapolis, and then, my dear friend from England sent me a book that I highly encourage you all to get and read. It is the kind of thing you can open at any section, but you will also want to read all in one sitting.
Yeah.
The cover itself is worth the admission price. My friend listens to the author on radio. It reminded me how good for us it is to laugh, and that my stomach has constantly been in a knot since the last presidential election.
Yes.
Take good care, everyone, and please do not give up. Our democracy and life depend on it.
Exactly.
The book is, and then she gives the details. Exactly, isn't it? Our democracy and life depend on it.
Yes, and the reason why people like Trump hate comedians or jokes being made about them, because it pricks their pomposity. It just brings them down, like, as only humour can.
Yes, exactly. Satire has always been a huge weapon, hasn't
it? Yeah, it really has, which is why they go for the comedians first, the intellectuals first, because, you know, thinking is right out when you're running a regime that's based on stupidity. So they go for as, by the way, the Reform Party have started to attack universities in this country. Isn't that curious?
Has it?
Yes, it has, yes.
Good God. Well, my friend, she says, another email to everybody, was about books. And she said, we've already got practically the most book banning in Iowa, that is, in the country.
Yeah.
They're closing libraries now.
Yes. They're closing libraries, and they're closing newspapers, and they're suing TV outlets, and they're suing legal firms who have taken cases that are, the antithesis of what the regime wants, and they're closing, did I mention radio stations? They're shutting radio stations down. And
they've shut Voice of America.
And this is the incredible part, they're restricting free speech like you couldn't
possibly
imagine happening in a first world country, in America.
Yeah.
while lecturing us on us restricting free speech in this country.
Well, you know what that is, don't you? That is blinding people to what they intend to impose on them by telling them that they're suffering it already from another quarter.
It's every accusation is a confession.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Right. And people sort of go for it. And by the time they've, you know, by the time we're under authoritarian rule, we won't notice because we'll still be fuming about the way the immigrants have colonised us.
Yes.
When those people are the ones that are going to do the colonising. That's why he picked that word.
Yeah. Very, 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 very scary times. Yeah. So you have to keep your wits about you. Always. Promise me you'll do that, Rose.
<It's all right>.
Thanks very much. 0345-6060-973. That book, by the way, is called Thank You for Your Attention to This Matter. It's only on Kindle in paperback form for eco-woke hippies and, e-book form for eco-woke hippies and paperback form for people who ate trees. Or you can have it read to you by a robot.
Affirmative.
Yeah, not me. A robot can read it to you. If you, you know, have difficulty seeing or you can't be bothered to move your eyes left to right. Email from Dick in Margate says, I play the banjo and my teeth are falling out. Please send help. No. John says, Nick, what do you make of Nadeem Zahawi on LBC saying he felt unsafe walking through London as a man who appeared tired at 8 o'clock in the morning looked as though he could possibly hurt him? In fact, the new Reform member had to leave the pavement. He was that scared of a tired man. Well, I didn't hear any of that, but I'm getting a little bit tired of people saying that you can't walk through London anymore. You know, Elon Musk tweets this on a regular basis, a guy who's probably never walked through London his entire life. And I can't imagine Nadeem Zahawi parading about the place, can you? London is probably the safest it is now that it's ever been. But, you know, that doesn't fit in with their little scheme to make you frightened and angry. Always frightened and angry. And the paper that you choose is probably one of those that that sells fear and anger. Every story is about one of those two things. And quite often, they make no bones about it, because in the headline, it will say, Fury as sun rises in the east again. It's so boring. Why isn't Keir Starmer doing something about it? All these people constantly telling us that our own lived experience is not true and that we should be fearful of going out. They're just trying to manipulate you with fear and anger. And they're doing a pretty good job of it, I reckon. I mean, look at the polling. Gary in Anglesey says, after watching the US congressional hearing on Wednesday, Pam Bondi, head of the Justice Department, made Caroline Leavitt sound like Mother Teresa. She must rank among the most detestable human beings on the planet, under oath, not answering questions, and no wonder she rose up the ranks with Trump. The US truly is a failing state. It seems that way to me. Yeah. I wouldn't want to live there. Shepherd's Bush. Hello, Tom.
Hello, sir. Mr. Nick, tell me, do you have got any idea what can be done, maybe a suggestion for Russian, from China, from India? Because what they do, if they're doing all this dust, is going to the jet stream. We get it, and America get it too. So America is only part of the world, not all world. Do you have any suggestion?
Do I have any suggestions about what?
About China.
Yeah,
Russia,
mm-hmm.
India, to stop polluting.
Yeah, that would be my suggestion. Stop polluting. I mean, China is charging ahead.
No, you America is only polluting, and they're behind. Come on, man. You are honest man. Honest, good communist man is they always say true, you know.
Right. I'm only understanding about half of what you're saying. I don't really get it. Let me summarise your point. Your point is that other people are polluting, so there's no point in us making any efforts not to, right?
No, it's not like that.
I may have changed your words, but I think I've made them make sense. That's what you're saying. It's because America is going to be polluting, and China and Russia and every other country on the planet, then we shouldn't bother not polluting.
They do.
Right.
They do it 3 times more than America. America is even behind. Sorry to say so.
America is behind. I don't really know what that means. Again, your argument is we shouldn't bother because other countries are polluting, regardless of what we do, which is kind of like saying, I can't be bothered to walk over there to the bin. I'm just going to drop my rubbish where I stand in the street because somebody else will have done that too. Yeah, that's no kind of argument. 0345-6060-973. Hazelmere, Delia.
Della.
Hello. Della.
I've got a couple of things, but before my main point, if Nadine Zahawi says you can't walk through London, how are we not going to not work from home? You can't stay at home.
Right.
And you can't go to work.
Yeah, that's right. It's too scary to go to work, but you can't work at home. So you're going to have to risk death by going to the office, yeah.
There's a fault in your logic, Zaphod. Oh, yes. And he is Zaphod, isn't he?
Well, the man with two heads.
Yeah, the logic guy, yeah. Anyway, no, the real reason I called was to wish you and everyone a happy World Radio Day.
It's World Radio Day. Says who?
It says everyone. It's in the calendar.
No, it is not in the calendar. What calendar? Nonsense. What calendar are you looking at that says World Radio Day?
It's a calendar called Google, and if you put it in there, World Radio Day, it will say February the 13th.
Well, why have they picked an unlucky day, supposedly?
Well, it's the 13th. It's not Friday the 13th every year.
It's still the 13th. Bad number. World Radio Day, celebration, Friday the 13th, February 2006. World Radio Day is an international day celebrated on February the 13th each year. The day was designated by UNESCO on November the 3rd, 2011, during its 36th conference. Well, what's it got to do with them?
Honestly, I came with good news and you've just thrown a bucket of water
all
over.
Well, I don't know. Is it good news?
It is. I've got a couple of other things, Nick. So just let me say, I wanted to say, because the three best presenters are of course, King Clive, because he's been doing it the longest.
Yeah.
And old Steve Wright, and they're new. But you're kind of the new boy, in my estimation. I've only been listening to you for 30 years. You know, you're right. A newcomer.
I'll get past my teenage radio phase any moment now.
But there was one other thing. At the Tate Modern, there's an installation called Babel.
I've seen it many, many times, yeah.
It's brilliant. It's the tower of radios, and I really recommend it to anyone if you're in that neck of the woods.
It's very, very good, yeah. It's in its own room. It's very dark in there, and it's illuminated by the light of these radios. There must be several hundred all piled up in a great big column.
Tower of Babel.
Right. And I could swear that I hear Clive Ball's voice coming out of one of those radios.
Well, I should hope so. If you're going to hear anyone's, it's got to be his, hasn't it?
Because they're all switched. Well, not all necessarily, but there's loads of them switched on. And so you walk around and you can hear this this sort of mix of sounds coming from all of these radios that are tuned to different stations. It's really quite. It's an excellent exhibit. Quite sure what they're getting at.
It is. It's the Tower of Babel.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't know this, but I have a very clever friend called Susan, and she explained this to me, that it's in the Bible that they built a tower up to God, and then God threw down the tower, and they all had to speak different languages or something, and that's why everyone speaks different languages.
Right.
Now, and that's what's behind it, something biblical.
Are you sure it's not the Tower of Babel?
Probably that too. Exactly that. But it's really, and it's free, so you don't have to pay for it.
Yes, free, as in no cost to you, the consumer. That's right.
And it's only one room, because I get a bit, I'm not that smart, I get a bit lost if it's over about 10 rooms,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's one room, so... Really
it becomes a bit overwhelming, doesn't it? You just have to sit down and have a beverage. You know, anything will do.
Booze.
There's an excellent pub just outside that that facility, which has a view over the river. You've got big place with a dome. St Paul's Cathedral, and you've got the City of London right there in front of you, and the boats going back and forth. It's a for a view, it must be the best pub in London.
Most definitely. So, yeah, happy Radio Day, you and to all the listeners too.
Happy Radio Day to us. Excellent work. Thanks a lot, Della. 0345 6060 973.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall.
Would you ever take out a loan where the lender can change the terms whenever it likes? The interest keeps rising even when your wages don't. You can't refinance it. You can't escape it.
I think the expansion in higher education has been a good thing for the country.
Over 150,000 students now have a debt of over £100,000. They're calling it a debt sentence. They'll never be able to repay it, and yet we call it a loan.
Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
We treated pensions like this. We repackaged it, changed the terms whenever the government wants, at a whim. We wouldn't hear the end of it. You'd never do it. It's just because these young people don't vote in those numbers. It's political cowardice.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall. Sunday morning from 10 on LBC.
It's the last chance to get yourself a ticket for Saturday's Lotto draw.
It could be you.
Lotto. From the National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
A Southern train is a place where you can have more me time. A chance to skip traffic and glide to wherever you need to be. With headspace to focus on more important matters. Like if that cloud is a starfish or sunflower. Fast journeys without the rush with great deals at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted. But then came unexpected site fee increases. And that was before the dramatic loss in value. If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold. Holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text ASSIST to 78900. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Stuck waiting again.
Tell me about it. I've spent all morning trying to get through to my GP.
Oh, I ditched that stress and joined Benenden Health. They've got 24/7 GP helpline. No waiting rooms, no sitting around.
Really? Sounds like a great service, unlike this one.
We're just about to get moving again.
Press play on your health with the 24/7 GP helpline and much more. All for less than £16 per person per month. Search Benenden Health. Fee reviewed periodically. T's and C's apply. Qualifying periods apply for some services. UK only. Visit benenden.co.uk.
I'm Leah, and this is my NHS story. I could just feel my body didn't feel right, so my GP referred me to the CDC. Had some blood tests done, and within 24 hours, I had my results. And that just reassured me that I was being taken seriously.
The government is opening new community diagnostic centres, with many already available 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, so the NHS can be there for all of us when we need it. Find your closest one at gov.uk/NHS Fit for the Future. Available England-wide.
For years, petrol set the benchmark. Hybrids cost more. Efficiency paid extra. Today, BYD reset the benchmark. Electric intelligence costs less than petrol. Advanced technology, real efficiency, no compromises. The BYD C-Lion 5 DMI Super Hybrid SUV from just 29,995. Find out more and book your test drive at byd.com/UK.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345
6060 973. Listen to him. He knows everything.
So this is World Radio Day. There are detailed files. Apparently it says it's a Spanish thing. Started in Spain and then grew from there. And I'll come to that in just a minute. First is a call in Cornwall from Malcolm. Malcolm.
Good evening, Nick. How are you, sir?
Yes, very well, thanks.
You sound well, I have to say. Fantastic show, Nick, as the guy up in Bath, who goes by three names, says. Nick,
Who? What?
The guy in Bath.
The guy in Bath.
Goes by three names.
Three names.
Who keeps on saying, yours is a fantastic show.
Oh.
Nick, have you seen what's happening in America?
Oh, no. What now?
Well, it makes Wales look like the sunshine country, I have to say, right? Now, Nick, pubs in Wales. I've heard that I was almost, well, I was on the list for consideration for banishment by the committee.
From the Goose and Cuckoo?
No, no, well, you say that. It's a little-known pub. You might call it the Goose and Cuckoo, but it's a little-known pub somewhere in the back of beyond.
Right.
But I can tell you, Nick, as a Welshman, that pubs in Wales don't even know the meaning of the word committee. let alone how you constitute one, right?
Right. Now, let me ask you a question about this.
Yeah, go on then.
Is this pub called the Glan Irravan in the heart of Pennal Village in North Wales?
No, that's Glan Irravan, the Welsh...
Exactly what I just said.
Yeah, as the Welsh turkey and backside pub said, Mam said earlier. So, no, that's North Wales, Nick, right? So, right. Forget them.
Forget North Wales? Wow, that is racist.
No. I say this as a South Walian, right? Yeah. So, therefore, also Welsh.
Why do the people in South Wales hate the people in North Wales and vice versa? What is that about? Why can't people just get along?
We don't. We don't hate North Walians.
Right.
We barely know they even exist because they're just a backwater up at the top of, a map, yeah?
Right.
Now, look. But their big thing is they've got the mountains, we haven't. But I tell you what, in winter, we are glad not to have any mountains because Scotland and North Wales, with the folk with the mountains, Nick, it's not a good place to be.
Traps the water.
The winter, right?
Yeah.
Yes, yes. But anyway, look, Nick, Welsh pubs banning people. Like I said, I was up before the committee. I haven't heard anything. I've not been told I'm banned.
Really?
So I don't even know whether I can go to the dog and bird's backside, right?
Yes.
But I will say this. If I am banned, I won't miss them.
But, well, you say that. But if you aren't banned, then you'll be glad to go.
Well, no, because Nick...
Why would they ban you?
Well, look, is it a pub?
A reasonable person such as yourself.
Is it a pub? Is it in the grand old country of Wales?
Yeah.
And if it is a pub in the grand old country of Wales, why does it need a committee member to come on the radio to tell us all that they are just banning people all over the time? Because that's all they seem to do, Nick.
Is it because of your argumentative nature?
Well, no, we're not speaking of me, Nick, are we? We're speaking of people being banned. I mean, this pub apparently bans everybody.
Right.
Anyway,
so Nick, what is it that you've done to upset them so?
Well, I don't know, being Welsh, probably.
No, that wouldn't have upset people in Wales. I'm pretty sure that the Welsh are okay with the Welsh.
Well, you obviously don't know many Welsh people, do you? They get upset with each other. They fight. Nick, look, I'm from a town, right, where the football team would fight the rugby team.
Yeah.
And both of those two teams would fight the farmers every Friday and Saturday night.
Is it because of a want of nothing else to
fighting.
Do?
Fighting.
Yeah,
it is lovely, Nick, yes. So the duck and turkey up the road, I would say that they've got to get some computer game machines into the pub.
Yeah.
So that they can...
Distraction.
Keep them, keep
them happy.
Keep the natives happy. Yeah. But, Nick, moving on to something a little bit more sensible, my God. Look, Nick, Keir Starmer, he's had one hell of a week, hasn't he?
Oh, blimey, you kept the meat of this meal for the last 50 seconds. All of the rest of that was just flannel?
No, but we can go beyond 50 seconds.
No, we can't.
All right, then.
But go ahead. I'll give you 50 seconds starting now.
All right, look, Starmer's had an amazing week. He's seen off the left and the right and the middle of his party. And I'm just super, super glad that people like Koonsberg, Preston, the goon off of the BBC, have just so had to eat all of their words, Nick. They've had to eat all their words and say, well, for a week, Starmer is safe. And Nick, it's not going to be just a week. It's going to be a little bit longer, I think.
Yeah, I think journalists are they're addicted to new, because that's the most important part of the word news. It has to be new.
But I'll tell you the woman who has to go, Nick.
Yes.
The woman who has to go is Koonsberg on the BBC. She is toxic.
Right. Okay, well, good to know. What, like a toad, you mean? Like one of those toads that you're not supposed to lick. Is that what you mean?
Nobody else on the airwaves, Nick.
Right, okay. All right, good talking to you, Malcolm, I think. Try to change whatever behaviour pattern it was that got you banned from that pub in the first place. All right, that's my best advice to you. You're welcome. 0345-6060-973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 11 o'clock. The Prime Minister has promised to never relent in the fight against anti-Semitism after two men inspired by so-called Islamic State were sentenced to a combined prison term of 63 years. An undercover operative caught 38-year-old Waleed Sadawi and Amar Hussein, who's 52, plotting a mass shooting against Manchester's Jewish community. Mark Levy from the region's Jewish Representative Council says some details in the trial hit close to home.
Road names and shops and synagogues reference that form the basis of our everyday lives. It's naturally incredibly disturbing that individuals who are living amongst us are being radicalised, who want to commit atrocities.
The Foreign Office has told LBC it's in contact with the authorities in the southeast of France following the deaths of two British men after an avalanche. It happened in the Val d'Isère ski resort. A third victim is a French national. The Metropolitan Police will no longer be arresting people who show signs supporting Palestine action after the High Court ruled the government's terrorism ban against it is unlawful. But the group remains a proscribed organisation, while the Home Office appeals against today's ruling. Jonathan Hall, KC, is the independent reviewer of terrorism legislation. He's been telling LBC Palestine Action could yet be banned in a different way.
I think that when the government appeals this decision, I'm pretty confident that it will be focusing quite a lot of its firepower on the court's willingness to say, we think that you could deal with it through criminal law, and that terrorism law isn't really needed.
President Trump says a change in power in Iran would be the best thing that could happen in the country. He's made the comments after meeting troops in North Carolina as Washington continues to press Tehran over its nuclear program, a second U.S. aircraft carrier is being sent to the Gulf region. And fresh warnings for ice have been applied to Wales, southern and central England. They're in addition to existing snow and ice alerts for the north of Britain as Arctic air pushes in. The forecaster John Hammond's been telling LBC any snowfall this weekend will depend on elevation.
You know, I'm about 1,000 feet up, and actually places that are 4 or 5 miles away and just a little bit lower haven't had any snowfall at all. I think altitude is going to be a big factor, because this air coming down from the Arctic, okay, it's Arctic air, but it's not especially cold, so it's always going to be marginal as to what falls out of the sky as rain or snow.
LBC weather clear for most areas, with wintry showers for the northeast of the country and parts of Northern Ireland. Patchy rain and snow will clear the south of England overnight. We'll see a low of around -2 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
Shut up.
Are you trying to tell me that this is your act?
Okay, here's the background of International Radio Day. World Radio Day, in fact, to be more accurate and correct. Following a request from the Spanish Radio Academy, it's their fault. On the 20th of September 2010, Spain proposed the UNESCO Executive Board include an agenda item on the proclamation of World Radio Day. You'd think they'd have other things to do. Apparently not. UNESCO's executive board added the agenda item to its provisional agenda for the proclamation of a World Radio Day in 2011. upon receiving favourable responses and official support from the Arab States Broadcasting Union, the Asia-Pacific Broadcasting Union, the African Union of Broadcasting, the Caribbean Broadcasting Union, the European Broadcasting Union, the International Association of Broadcasting, the North American Broadcasters Association, and Vatican Radio. Vatican Radio. The proposal was approved. And comically, the 13th of February was recommended as the official day to call World Radio Day, about which I had not heard a peep until just now. You'd think that I, working in radio, might have actually heard about it, but you know, maybe I just wasn't paying any attention. Still, great day to be alive, eh? Do you get a badge or like a flag or something? You get a thumbs up, an emoji from UNESCO. World Radio Day. I bet you feel differently about Friday the 13th now. Bell in Manchester says, evening, Nick. I was due to be in London this weekend, but I decided against it after hearing Nadeem Zahawi's public safety announcement saying it's full of tired people. It's obviously very dangerous in the capital. Stay safe, says Bell. Yeah, I'll do my best. I don't know, maybe Nadeem Zahawi was... maybe he was distracted. Maybe he was wondering whether his horses were warm enough. Didn't have anything to do with, you know, some tired person that made him step off the pavement. Tired person. Is that what he actually said? Somerset. Hello, Laura.
Hello, Nick.
Laura.
Oh, gosh, World Radio Day. This must be, like, your Christmas.
Christmases day, isn't and it? Birthdays all rolled into one. Yes. It feels amazing.
Well, I must say, February 13th, it's very on brand to be World Radio Day, because it's a bit of a weird, like, date, isn't it? It's not really suitable for TV day.
Are you suggesting that people in radio... Are you suggesting that people in radio are weird?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that they are. I've always thought that. I've always thought that people in radio are weird, and I include myself in that, because what I do for a living is I sit in a booth, in a box, on my own, and just talk. Like, if I did this on a bus, people would be leaving in droves. They'd probably call the police. But I'm doing this for... I'm actually make a living doing this. Can you believe that?
No.
Yeah. I'm just, I just open, the red light comes on, and I just open my mouth, and it all comes out. Like that.
I asked your former glamorous assistant once, like, if you turned everything off, how long would it be until Nick realised that nothing was being transmitted? Like, if you're just sat there talking.
Yeah.
And you've got no one to tell you that that you're not hearing any feedback or anything, are you? So when would you realise?
I would be concerned after about half an hour of not receiving a phone call, and I would think, God, this is a bit much. You know, where is everybody, I would think. But that wouldn't be proof positive that I'm not actually broadcasting. No, they could actually pull the plug on me. In fact, for all I know, they actually do. That something else entirely goes out Friday, Saturday and Sunday night for 3 hours, and they're just... they're just humouring me by making me think I've got a show.
Yeah, speaking of which, can you tell the people at BBC that my cheque this month was late? You know, I'm not doing this anymore until they pay me properly. So, I'm hired for your amusement, Nick.
Right.
Are you amused?
Not yet, no. But, you know, there's always time.
Well, you'll know if you're not on the air after one of your monologues if you turn to, presumably, that you can see a little bit of your glamorous assistant. If they're not stood up applauding or visibly moved by what you've said, then you'll know that they've not heard you.
Well, they don't listen to this show. They're in there listening to Classic FM. I know it's relaxing, but I'm trying to do a program here.
I saw the most brilliant pub name the other day, and I actually made a note of it because I thought I'd love to tell Nick Abbott about this.
Go on.
And when I first saw it, I thought, that's a stupid name for a pub. They weren't trying very hard. Mm. But then it hit me. It's called The Shoe Inn.
Right.
The Shoe Inn. Yeah.
As in they want to shoe people into the pub.
S-H-O-O. Well, I don't know. I was driving. I only had a, you know, split second.
You were drinking and driving.
No, I didn't say that. I was driving.
Outrageous in this day and age. I mean, I know it used to be a thing. People used to... The whole concept of country pubs just baffles me, because you've got to drive to go there. And I know that people did that in the 1970s. Nobody really cared. And if you on the World Wide Web, it's on YouTube, you can find videos of people absolutely outraged that the government of the time was going to bring in a law that you can't drink and drive. Oh, so the end of freedom in this country. You know, the same people saying the same kind of stupid things back then as they are now. Everything has been done under the sun. Nothing ever changes. We're surrounded by them, Laura.
Well, you know, your present party excludes, of course. People are stupid, but you wait till you hear about the scam that Michelin pulled on all of us, you know?
Michelin?
If you don't like driving to country pubs, and you find out about Michelin stars. Yeah. A huge conspiracy going on.
Well, it is. It's a conspiracy to make you use more rubber. Wheel rubber.
Oh.
You know, tyre rubber.
Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, tyre rubber. That's the whole point of the Michelin Guide, is to make you drive more, therefore use more of your tyre rubber up, and then have to buy new Michelins.
Well, now I have a question for you related to radio, and if that's okay.
Yeah.
Your lovely voice, did you have elocution lessons before you went to radio? Because you said frequently, you may recall, you were raised in Scotland. Do you remember that?
Uh-huh. Do I remember being raised in Scotland? Yes. Yes, I do recall that. Yes.
Did you have to be coached in how to speak properly? Or?
No. I only moved to Scotland when I was about 14, something like that. So my accent was already in place.
And so you sounded like this at age 4?
14.
A 14, sorry.
Yeah. And when I went to Scotland, I thought, I really don't want to get a Scottish accent. I'm going to watch the Sweeney just to keep my, my hand in. To hear London accents, your Nick Sunshine, you know, that kind of thing.
Wow, that's so racist.
Are you familiar with the Sweeney?
I am, actually.
Are you?
Yeah. And I actually have a bone to pick with you. Finally.
Yeah.
I was going to lead with that, but I was worried that you wouldn't let me on if I did. I listened to your Nick Abbott podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Plural. Mm-hmm. I may, we can't believe it, two in the same week. But
yeah.
your first one, you spoke to a very lovely 26-year-old girl, woman, rather.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, wow, you're wise beyond years, and oh, you're such a lovely lady. And I thought, I've never had any of that from you.
No, quite right. You've got to earn it.
What do you mean, quite right?
You've got to earn it, Laura.
I've been talking to you for ages. Have I not earned it?
Well, you can always try harder. That's that's the thing to take from this conversation. You can always try harder. All right. Excellent work. Thanks a lot, Laura. I should have asked her about the damn parakeets, because I do believe that two parakeets have set up home outside my house.
Oh, no.
Yes, I know. I've been dreading this day, like I really have, because they're blooming everywhere. The wild, luminous green squawking things. They've taken over Kew Gardens. You can't get away from them. Wah, wah, they go. Painful. And there's so many of them. And I thought, and they were going in and out of a hole in the side of the house that I can see from my window. And I thought, shall I go to the people in the house and tell them that two parakeets are making a nest in the... It's like an outlet, you know, probably a bathroom extractor fan outlet. And it's a hole in the side of their house. So I thought, shall I go down and, engage them in conversation and tell them to do something about it? And I thought, no. I'll just pray and hope that they don't actually move in. But I think that they have. And when two come, then there's going to be a blooming cloud of them, isn't there? Just before Christmas, I was minding my own affairs, and there was the most unbelievable noise. And I looked up, and the tree that was, out of leaf, so you could see everything that was landed on there. There must have been 1,000 of these things in there. It was like they were gathering before, flying south for the summer or something. It was that kind of a concentration. I've never seen anything like it of any birds in my life. But for them to be those birds that don't even blooming belong here. And you're not allowed to do anything about them, are you? You can't treat them in the manner to which they should become accustomed, because it's against the law, I imagine. And I haven't got a gun, gun anyway. I could shout at them. That's not illegal. I could wave my arms in the air like I just don't care. That's not illegal either. But I'm not sure it would have any effect. Why isn't anybody doing anything about this? I really don't get it. I mean, it's an invasive species. Have we learnt nothing from that whole grey squirrel issue? 0345 6060 973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
This is LBC.
Across the country, thousands of drivers are feeling electric about switching to an EV. And here's why. They can go from London to Sheffield on a single charge that could cost around a fiver. They're ecstatic about that and the exhilarating feeling behind the wheel. Plus, with charging made simple at home, they're always ready for the drive ahead. I can see why they're into it. Switch to an EV and get that electric feeling. Costs and range dependent on tariffs, model and driving habits. For full details, visit gov.uk/clean energy.
Fly into flip-flop mode. There's still time to get up to £500 off package holidays in EasyJet's Big Orange Sale. Or get flights from £28 one way. EasyJet. Get out there. Selected dates and flights. Limited availability. Holiday sale ends 3rd of March. Min spend and ATL protected. T's and C's apply.
It's the last chance to get yourself a ticket for Saturday's Lotto draw.
It could be you.
Lotto. From the National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Attention dogs. This is not a drill. If your dinner comes in dodgy brown balls or smells suspicious at best, you deserve to know this. Butternut Box makes fresh dog food with ingredients you'd find in your human's fridge. In fact, some humans have even tasted it. For quality control, obviously. Anyway, let's hope your human was listening. Butternut Box. Fresh food, happy dogs. Try Butternut Box today and get 25% off your first two boxes. Offer available online in the UK and Ireland to first-time customers only.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Please.
Alex says, as world leaders express sorrow over a school shooting in Canada, President Cancels demands 50% of a bridge he doesn't own and which Canada paid for. Is this painted troll trying to find himself a new home under this bridge, or is he instead trying to kick Canada when they're down? Maybe it's both. Maybe it's both, Donnie.
Don't be rude.
Painted troll. He really is the world's worst human. Tell me somebody who's worse. Richmond, Aisling.
Hi, Nick.
Aisling.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. I was just going to ask you if you could help me with something. Because today I was in a taxi, and I don't usually talk to the driver, but the driver seemed to like really want to talk, so I didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
So the only time I usually, if I do have to talk to a taxi driver, I just ask them if they listen to LBC. And usually the answer is always yes anyway. He said yes, and then I asked him, who do you like to listen to? And then he said, Nigel. And I said, there's no Nigel on LBC. And I was like, you couldn't be talking about Nigel for us. And then I said, Nigel. And then he said, yeah. And I said, Nigel doesn't present. He said, yes, he does, in the evening at 6. And I was like, okay, I don't really know what's going on here. so then I said, do you mean... I said, who's Nigel? And he goes, Farage, Nigel Farage. And I was like, he hasn't been on there in a long time. And he said, but he still comes in sometimes to present. And I was like, he really doesn't.
No.
And then I said, who else do you like to listen to? And then he said, Jacob Rees-Mogg. What is going on here? I was really confused.
And this all happened on World Radio Day. I can't believe it.
It's today World Radio Day.
Today's World Radio Day, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, wow.
You think that I would. But you got a pass, Aisling. I should have known about it. But, you know, it being an important day and all. What with the everything about it.
Well, they should talk about it more. Yeah. That's important.
So, is it though? I'm not sure. So he listens to Jacob Smug.
I don't know anything.
He doesn't know anything.
Yeah. And then I started asking him about the presenters that I really like. And yeah, then I didn't like where the conversation went, so I put my headphones back on.
Yeah. Never talk to a cab driver.
Warning, warning.
Was it a black cab or a minicab?
It was a cab.
Oh, we just lost you there, Aisling. What was the answer? Black cab or minicab?
What's the answer supposed to be?
Well, the answer is whatever cab you were in. Were you in a black cab or a minicab?
Oh, you literally lost me. I thought you didn't. It was just a cab company. So is that a minicab?
A minicab, right. So it wasn't a traditional London hackney
carriage.
No, it wasn't
a black cab. Right, no. Okay.
Because I think the benefit of having your trip in a black cab, apart from they know where they're going, apart from that, and that they are trained professionals, and the cab might actually not smell of vomit. The great advantage of the black cab is the red button on the door, which silences the intercom.
Yeah.
You can just turn them off.
Yeah, and that was on the way back. On the way, the driver I had is a nice driver. I have him regularly. For this particular appointment, and he kept humming, and I never said it to him before because I didn't want to be rude. I just didn't want to be rude, and I really couldn't take it this morning, so I said, I'm really, really sorry, but do you mind not humming? And then he said, oh, okay, I'm sorry. And he started doing it again a few minutes later, and I was like, oh my God.
Oh no, he doesn't know he's doing it. Yeah.
Just so annoying.
I have built...
he started telling me that he's a DJ, and then
I have builders, and one of them whistles, and it's... it's nice that, he's happy in his work, and he's very, very cheery chappy, he couldn't be nicer, but he has, without question, the most tuneless whistle you've ever heard in your life. I mean, he could cut wood with it, it's so sharp. It's excruciating, but you can't tell him that. Maybe I have just told him.
if he listens to this, then maybe
he's going to put my sink in back to front. Yeah.
Do you know what, Nick? My granny used to always say. Actually, it was my granny. It would have been her birthday today.
Her birthday.
Well, it would have been. Yeah, the 13th of February. She would have been 107 now.
Wow.
But my other granny is going to be 100 very soon. I'll call you when it is her birthday.
Right.
Hopefully, because But anyway, what I was going to say is that whenever any of us used to whistle, Granny used to always say, I don't know, have you ever heard this before? A whistling woman and a crowing hen hunts the devil out of the den.
A whistling woman?
Yeah.
And a what?
Crowing hen.
Yeah.
Hunts the devil out of the den.
What does that mean?
I don't know. It's probably got something to do with farming, though.
Farming?
I imagine. If it's... Well, there's a hen.
No.
A den.
I guess maybe whistling... Like, maybe music is the devil's work. Is that it?
Maybe. I'll Google it.
Maybe you're not supposed to express your internal pleasure for the world to see.
Disgusting.
You know, you're supposed to maintain composure at all times. Whistling implies a certain amount of happiness. Maybe women weren't allowed to be happy in
probably.
The old days. Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Right. Would you like to whistle something for us now?
Oh, gosh, no, you don't want me to whistle.
Thank goodness for that. All right, thanks a lot, Aisling. 0345 6060 973. Donor in Bognor Regis says, Evening, Nick, have you joined Rupert Lowe's new party yet? Well, let me think about that for a moment.
No.
He's making Yarmouth great again. Is it Great Yarmouth? Somewhere like that. The stuff you hear, eh? Darren in London says, Ain't it great to see Kemi already planning her future after politics? She was working in McDonald's this week. And what happened with your parking ticket? Did you admit your guilt and pay £80 fine or risk £160 by waiting 2 weeks? And I hope you sent a letter of apology to the poor parking officer who was only doing his job. Well, I did accost the parking officer, but only in the most polite way possible. I just tried to explain to him the error of his ways. He had given me a parking ticket, which was obviously, as per the sign instructing you where not to park, it specified an area that I could park in. And he went ahead and gave me a ticket anyway.
What?
I know. And so I explained this to the council, and they replied that because you can appeal. I'm appealing. You believe that?
No.
So you can appeal, and they rejected my appeal. I don't think they even looked at it. I think that that is an automatic response when you appeal. They immediately say, no, we're right. You owe us this amount of money. And if you don't pay it immediately, then it's going to double. And it starts at 80 quid. And the double 80 is 160. I think you'll find, fact fans, that is correct. And so you have to risk getting double the fine in order to appeal again. And what surprised me was, when I did appeal again, because I thought, the hell with this, I'm in the right here. So I'm going to have to wait, the fine will double, and only then can you re-appeal. Which seems like a scam to me. You know, they're making you fearful of them doubling the fine if you... And you can only wait until the fine has doubled before you can appeal. Doesn't that sound like a scam? Like it shouldn't be allowed? So, I did appeal, and the thing that was kind of dispiriting was that I found that I am appealing the second time around to the very same people. There is no parking ombudsman that I could find. They didn't give you an email address to somebody else. Like overseer. No, you're appealing to the same people that rejected your appeal the first time, incorrectly, in my opinion, and in the opinion of the blooming sign that was appended to the lamppost that prohibited parking in a specific area, but not the area that I was parked in. Absolutely furious. And so I'm expecting a letter saying, ha-ha, charade you are, we are rejecting your appeal again, and now you owe us 160 quid. Or 240 quid, or £8,000, or by the time it actually gets sorted, it'll be...
$8,737,540,000.
Approximately, in pounds. So I await their decision now. But as I'm appealing to the same people who rejected my appeal the first time around, I'm not expecting much. But you know me, I never complain.
Whinging and whining and moaning.
Well, I'm justified in whinging and whining and moaning. I'm one of the little people, not leprechauns.
The little people.
Yeah, one of the little people. Fighting for my right to, partay. To park in the correct place. I was very, very specific about it. I don't just leave my car any old place. I obey the rules and the regulations. I do. I'm a good boy, I am. Anyway, don't get me started. Oh, I already have started. Let's see now. Tooting. Hello, Jan.
Hi, Nick. Hi. You're well. I can hear you're so well.
Oh, thanks.
So I'm ringing up about these... I've come across some updates to the global climate models. They say they're not... There's new predictions about how the... climate change is going to affect, so it's going to cause flooding.
Yes.
A lot of flooding.
There's a lot of flooding.
Mm-hmm. And apparently they say 1 in 5 homes in Reform UK heartlands projected to be underwater in 25 years.
In Reform heartlands?
Yeah, in the Reform heartlands, there's been a study of it here, coastal front lines, it's not just the coastal areas, but also the inland part. So they're saying that this is based on Aviva's analysis. It's based on quite a lot of analysis, and all the, you know, the environmental groups like Greenpeace and Friends of the Earth, they're warning, you know, there's not going to, there's, and England's got knackered flood defences and
terrible.
Things like that.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a real disaster. Reform says it's green hysteria. They're dismissing.
Well, I tell you what, all of the Reform voters who are shortly about to lose their house to floodwaters, hopefully they will have kept those small dinghies that they're so keen to spot. Yeah, don't puncture them, keep them. You will be requiring them later.
And it's so worrying because what I find... find really strange as well, comparing, I mean, things will just collapse, the infrastructure and everything will collapse. Councils won't have money to do things, because as it is, the councils, and this is what really gets me, the councils, that was it here, look, poor areas paying more tax than richer boroughs.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's because the rules have been written by the rich. Same with tax. It's the reason why not income tax, the capital gains tax. It's why capital gains tax is so low, is because that's how the rich make their money.
Because they say, look, Kensington has some of the highest highest house prices, yet residents pay one of the lowest council tax rates in England.
Right.
So the country's going to collapse then if this flooding happens in 2050.
Yeah. But at least it'll be happening to everybody that does not believe in climate change. So, you know, they'll have that. They'll they'll be able to protect themselves with their own ignorance. They could use it as a flotation device. Thanks for the warning, Jan. 0345 6060 973. It's 11:30 on LBC, the news headlines with Tim Daly.
The Prime Minister has promised to never relent in the fight against anti-Semitism after two men inspired by so-called Islamic State were sentenced to a combined prison term of 63 years. An undercover operative caught 38-year-old Waleed Sadawi and Ammar Hussein, who's 52, plotting a mass shooting against Manchester's Jewish community. The Metropolitan Police will no longer be arresting people who show signs supporting Palestine action after the High Court ruled the government terrorism ban against it is unlawful, but the group remains a proscribed organisation while the Home Office appeals against the ruling. And President Trump says a change in power in Iran would be the best thing that could happen. He made the comments as Washington continues pressing Tehran over its nuclear programme. LBC weather clear for most areas with wintry showers in the northeast and parts of Northern Ireland. Any patchy rain and snow will clear the south of England overnight. We'll see a low of around minus 2 degrees.
This is LBC.
All right, resistance up. Let's climb.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, my knee's playing up again.
Have you ever had it looked at?
No, but I've been doing a few stretches.
When my shoulder went, Benenden Health got me expert help. Showed me exactly where I was going wrong.
30 seconds, people.
Press play on your health with physiotherapy and much more. All for less than £16 per person per month. Search Benenden Health. Fee review periodically. T's and C's apply. Qualifying periods apply for some services, including physio. UK only. Visit benenden.co.uk.
Sunlight's guaranteed over 50 plan. Gave confidence to Jane and Chris. With their insurance sorted, they're becoming naturists. Cutting loose in their birthday suits, feeling elegant and free. But when they answered the door, the postman saw more than he expected to see. Sunlight, a little confidence goes a long way. Affordable cover with a cash payout. Search Sunlight Cover today.
Premiums paid could exceed the payment. Full cover after 1 year. Ages 49 to 85.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
At Lidl, we value getting everyone round the table this Pancake Day. Make sure to top up on toppings from the fresh produce retailer of the year, us. Such as a 4-pack of lemons and fun-sized apples. Both for just 69p with Lidl Plus. Lidl, more to value. Subject to availability, selected stores, GB only. Offer ends 18th the 2nd, 26.
You want £1 million.
I'd love £1 million.
So you enter the birthday draw and you think of a way to spend £1 million.
I'd deposit regularly into a retirement fund that safely tracks the market.
It's a lucky day, and you win the birthday draw.
I can't believe it!
And you buy a snake and a superbike instead.
Yeah, baby!
Is it your lucky day? For your chance to win £1 million, just search the birthday draw and enter now. From Global and ITV. 18 plus UK only, no purchase necessary.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott.
You're joking.
0345 6060 973. Greg says, did you see the video of RFK Jr. saying that he's not afraid of germs because he used to snort drugs off snort drugs off toilet seats?
Disgusting.
Oh, really? I wonder if any of our anti-vaccine or anti-lockdown loons have similar reasons for their beliefs, says Greg.
Want to score some pot?
No, thank you. Don't say no. Say no thank you. I mean, good manners don't cost nothing, do they?
Be polite!
He used to snort drugs off toilet seats. Anybody surprised about that?
No.
Not really, no. No. Answers a lot of questions. You know, that and the brain worm. He's America's chief health expert. What could possibly go wrong? Amy says, I've got a suggestion for your Trump bingo card. He'll announce that a verse dedicated to him will be added to the national anthem. Wow. Okay, here's my current Trump bingo card. This is after last year's was almost completely full. I filled up last year's. Last year's was have the army or police or whoever shoot into crowds of protesters. Yes, that happened. Have a military parade in his honour. That happened as well. He appeared on stage in military uniform. Now, I didn't think that he had, but apparently he had, because somebody found that he was in like a military jacket with a big badge on. Yeah, he will arrest judges, yep, arrest journalists, yep, close down news sites that tell the truth about him, arrest comedians who mock him, close down TV outlets that make fun of him, shut at least one newspaper, fire professors who teach the truth, enrich individuals and companies that give him money, arrest and convict citizens without trial, show executions on national media, and if you're wondering about that one, yeah, he did. He executed about 80-some people just for being in a boat off the coast of Venezuela. They had no idea who they were or what they were doing or where they were coming from or going to, but they killed them anyway. He's going to stay in office after the first, after his full term. Now, that hasn't happened yet, but only because it hasn't happened yet. He'll have portraits of him posted in all school and government buildings. I do think that they're in all government buildings. I'm not sure whether they're in all schools yet. He will rail against degenerate art. He hasn't actually used that word. Maybe it's not a word that he thinks his cult fans will actually understand. But that was the phrase when you-know-who from the History Channel, he was in power. They railed against degenerate art. Shut that down. He will insist that government buildings be built in classical Roman style. Yeah, he's done that. He'll want an airport named after him. These were all ideas before any of this happened. This was my Trump bingo card. And, of course, he's insisted on an airport being named after him. And he's holding up an infrastructure project in New York until people agree. Not just an airport, he wants a railway terminus named after him as well. I mean, what kind of a person wants that? I mean, okay, it would be nice after I've died, perhaps, but not I am going to prevent a bridge opening unless you give it to me. This guy's like 3 years old. What else? He will have his face on money. Yeah, he's had that. He'll bring a plane down carrying an enemy over America. I'm not sure that has happened yet. He'll declare a state of emergency and there won't be any elections. That is going to happen. Betcha. And he'll award himself medals. That was last year's Trump bingo card. And this year's is filling up quite quickly. The FBI will find 12,000 votes and say that Trump actually won in 2020. He'll place his ice goons outside Democrat area polling stations if there are more elections. And those ice goons will start arresting people at random from the crowd and smashing people's faces into the ground and shooting them a couple of times if they feel like it, you know, depending on their mood. And then people won't want to go out to vote in Democrat area polling stations anymore. Problem solved. He'll appear on stage in military uniform. Well, I think he sort of has. He'll want his own film, like Melania. And he'll want twice as much money, I bet, and he'll want it to last three times as long. He'll want a statue of himself in gold, placed somewhere public. He will want to be made a saint. He'll have his portrait in every school in the country, or they'll be defunded. He'll take the Panama Canal and now have a verse about himself added to the national anthem. Excellent work there, Amy. Weybridge, Julius.
Evening, Nick. Are you well?
Yeah, good, thanks.
After that list,
Yeah.
It's still amusing, but at the same time, it's reality. And
it's scary.
Somewhat depressing.
Yes, yeah. That's right. But
thank you for the heads up and the signposting on what we expect next.
I can't imagine that it's going to be good. I mean, we ended last year thinking, oh, thank goodness for that. Next year's a chance for a new start. And it started worse than the previous year. He invaded Venezuela. He kidnapped their leader, frog marched him blindfold out onto the tarmac, flew him to a foreign country, New York, and then stole the country's oil. And and everything since then has been so crazy, no one's even talking about that anymore.
It seems normal suddenly, yeah. It's weird. I was going to talk about something else, but first, did you see the Pam Bondi sessions at the Congress?
Yeah, no, I didn't. I saw one of the Democrat senators, if they were senators, one of the Congress persons. I saw him do like a 3-minute teardown, but I didn't hear her response.
Well, it's quite interesting to go and listen. I mean, she's basically saying, "I don't care for your justice," effectively, and I've no concept of how they're going to deal with her. You know, they can't. Apparently, if she turned up, they can't hold her in contempt. But she just sat there and railed at them and answered nothing. It was very disturbing to watch, really.
Well, it was indicative of the Trump regime. They don't think that the law has any bearing on their actions. With justification, because so far it hasn't.
Well, go and have a look at the specific hearing. It was off the scale, really. Anyway, I have phoned with a solution to your problem concerning the pandemonium of parakeets.
Ah.
Are you aware that's actually a correct collective noun for parakeets?
Is it? Pandemonium of parakeets. Yeah, well, that fits, because they darn make a racket.
They are green-necked menaces.
I hate them. I really hate them.
I'll try and dislike. Hate's a bit strong for other animals, but, all right. So, the word on the street, and I'm talking about the M25 here, because they come around where I'm located and just strip the trees bare.
Yeah.
Is that they don't like realistic rubber snakes. They actually got an inbuilt atavistic fear of them. Hmm. Okay? So if you go and get a few and place them around things that they're going to look for, like feeders, and around and into the lower branches of trees, it will have apparently an immediate deterrent effect.
Huh.
But there's a catch.
Yes. And
here's where the homework comes in. Because you don't want habituation, and they quite quickly cotton on to the fact that these good-looking snakes, as I call them, are not moving.
Yeah.
So you need to sneak out at night and move them about a bit.
Right, this sounds like a job I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life now.
I bet there's homework involved.
Yeah.
There is an alternative, though.
A sparrowhawk?
No, not at all, no. As he's no longer our trade envoy, and he needs the income, you could offer the job to Ponce Andrew, who needs gainful employment.
Oh, right.
As your scarecrow.
Yeah, or you could use Peter Mandelson as a realistic snake.
Now, the point is, Andrew's sufficiently repulsive, and being a royal reptile, he'll definitely... Right.
Well, that sounds like a good idea. That sounds like a full and frank answer to my problem. Excellent work there, Julius. Thanks for that. 0345-6060-973. I really am genuinely confused why the government isn't doing something about this, because we used to have those cute little red squirrels, right? You remember those? Those of you who are old enough will remember we used to have cute little red squirrels. Now they're located in maybe a couple of places, like small areas. The grey ones have taken over. Now, the grey ones, they don't really belong here. They're from somewhere else. I know this might sound racist, but they should go back to where they came from. Because the red squirrels were cute. Nobody wants to receive a Christmas card with a grey squirrel on the front. You might as well send somebody a Christmas card with a rat on the front. But a red squirrel in snow, chewing its nuts, Now, that would sell by the bucket load, wouldn't it? Same with these parakeets. We used to have the air filled with the beautiful song of British birds. Now it's that foreign squawking, and they're so big and they're so aggressive that they push our own birds out, and then they just take over. I don't know how often they have a hot parrot interface with each other.
Disgusting.
But they don't half produce a lot of them. Now, you think it would be relatively easy to fix. Just put some sort of you don't have to go and kill them, but you just have to persuade them not to keep reproducing. And you could do that by chemical methods. I mean, it's not beyond the wit of humankind to produce some sort of, a chemical prophylactic that stops them producing other little squawking versions of themselves. So why are they being allowed to reproduce so much, as though there's nothing that we can do about it? Of course there is. I mean, if I had my way, I would encourage the royal family to, correct them in the usual manner. Give them something to do. 0345 6060 973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall.
Would you ever take out a loan where the lender can change the terms whenever it likes? The interest keeps rising even when your wages don't. You can't refinance it. You can't escape it.
I think the expansion in higher education has been a good thing for the country.
Over 150,000 students now have a debt of over £100,000. They're calling it a debt sentence. They'll never be able to repay it, and yet we call it a loan.
Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
We treated pensions like this. We repackaged it, changed the terms whenever the government wants. At a whim, we wouldn't hear the end of it. You'd never do it. It's just because these young people don't vote in those numbers. It's political cowardice.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall. Sunday morning from 10 on LBC.
Idle money chills in your current account. Parked in front of the telly. Wanting a snack, yet too lazy to move. But thanks to Monzo, Busy Money got up early, automatically split your paycheck into pots, rounded up your purchases into savings, invested your interest into ISAs, oh, and has already written itself a to-do list for tomorrow. Monzo, the bank that gets your money moving. UK residents aged 18 plus, Monzo personal account required, capital at risk, T's and C's and fees may apply.
It's the last chance to get yourself a ticket for Saturday's Lotto draw.
It could be you.
Lotto. From the National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Did you know that if you buy your train tickets early, you could get a better price with Southeastern Advance Tickets? Whether you're planning a fun family day out or heading into town for a meeting, the earlier you buy, the cheaper your ticket could be. See our terms and conditions to check if it's the right ticket for you. Buy your Advance train tickets now from the Southeastern app or website and pay no booking fees.
If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, what you thought you were getting may not be what you ended up with. From unexpected site fee increases, running costs, a huge depreciation in value, many owners feel they've been missold. If you think this might be you, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive the compensation you're entitled to. Text ASSIST to 78900 to find out more. That's ASSIST to 78900.
At ulisprosperity.com, you buy the car and we pay you up to £600 per month in rental income. For conditions, visit ulisprosperity.com.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
On your marks, get set, go hybrid. The new Toyota Aygo Cross Hybrid. More oomph than a Friday feeling. And smoother than your last online date. More confidence, more go. In a new hybrid engine with 0% APR representative over 24 months. The new Toyota Aygo Cross Hybrid. Go on. Visit your local Toyota centre. Price on £21,595. Available on Toyota PCP when financed through Toyota Financial Services by 31st March 2026. Optional final payment indemnities may be required. See website conditions apply.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
It blows my mind, Nick. It really does. It does my nuts in.
It does my nuts in. Paul in Shoreham says, hi, Nick, did you know that it once rained for 1 million years? It is known as the Carnian Pluvial episode and occurred during the late Triassic period, about 235 million years ago. I think it's happening again, says Paul. Well, just imagine if it did. I mean, you know, all of the climate scientists are all saying the same thing, that the weather is getting more extreme. Imagine if it got so extreme that we couldn't rely on the weather that we have come to rely on anymore. Because everywhere on Earth is populated in a sort of a Goldilocks zone. It's not too hot, and it's not too cold, and it's not too dry, and it's not too wet. It's just right. And most of the areas that we've lived in, and I'm not talking about countries here, I'm talking about specific areas, like by rivers, or they're near mountains with like spring water coming down from the glaciers, or whatever it is. Imagine if we couldn't rely on that anymore. I mean, it's rained for 3 months. Imagine if it rains for 6 months every year for the next 10 years. This country would become unlivable. Much of the country would be unlivable. And then what? Where are those people going to live now? And all those places that have been built on floodplains? Millions of people. Millions of people living near rivers, lakes. All of the, what's going to happen to them? I mean, the cost of mitigating the problems that we are causing way outweighs the cost of trying not to cause them in the first place, which is the cost of putting solar panels on roofs and you know, windmills on in the sea and on farmland or whatever, and an extra couple of £100 on a car. The cost of fixing climate change is so unimaginably great that nobody even wants to talk about it. Politicians, they see it as a possibility. They know, they must know what it would cost to fix, you know, a 1 foot rise in sea level, which might not seem that great, but it would make most major cities in the world completely unlivable. It would totally flood New York, London, Hong Kong, you name it. So that we're crossing our fingers and hope that it won't happen, when there's an over 50% chance of it actually happening. I mean, we're not very bright, are we? No wonder aliens from space haven't made contact with us. I mean, they're waiting for us to get smart enough to be so that they can be bothered to talk to us. 0345 6060 973. Watford. Hello, Simon.
Hi, Nick. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
I think I've come a bit late into the show, but I haven't heard you mention, but I saw last week, actually, that Leatherface Steve Bannon put a video out saying that his ICE agents are going to be at the polling stations. And I thought, well, that's one off of your list, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Ding.
Ding. Exactly. ICE agents are going to be at the polling station. If America has an election again, and I'd be kind of surprised if they did, I think that Trump will declare a national emergency just before the November elections and say that the elections are cancelled for your safety. And one thing that I thought, but I haven't actually said out loud, is I'm expecting there to be some sort of false flag attack. I think that the regime, in their desperation to cling on to power, will attack Americans and say that this is an outside attack by terrorists and all elections are cancelled, but we must do that now for your safety. So I'm going to put that on my list. Fingers crossed, hoping that it doesn't happen, but, you know, most of the rest of these terrible things have already.
Well, I think it's going to be more basic than that. I think it's going to be, oh, look, there's a brown one. Pick it off and take them out the crowd, put them into a van, and they'll never be seen again. And that's where they are now, isn't it?
Yeah, well, since I put that on this list, my prediction is that he will send ICE agents, those ICE goons, to polling stations in Democrat areas.
Yep.
Having banned mail-in voting. And those ICE agents will just do what they do, you know, because they love the anonymous violence of it. So they'll take people out of the crowd at random, smash their faces into the ground, shoot a couple of them, and the message will go around and nobody will want to go and vote anymore.
Yeah, Yeah, and the side door of a van will open, they'll be piled in, and the van will go off and you'll never see them again.
Yeah, well, that's standard procedure. No, I'm talking about preventing any elections from actually delivering a result that the regime does not approve of.
What a lovely election.
I know.
What a shame if something happened to it.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, good work. Thanks a lot, Simon.
Oh, thanks.
0345-6060-973. Ed in Los Angeles says, Nick, did you see Pam Bondi being questioned this week? She didn't like being asked questions. I predict she'll be gone within the next fortnight. Even Fox News thought it was a lame, screechy performance. She's utterly vile, says Ed, who even in Los Angeles has got put on a list for that. Chris in Nottingham says, I see the Timu Trump Farage says he doesn't... Timu Trump says he doesn't want people working from home. They'll have to go into the office as it improves performance. And does that mean he'll have to actually visit Clacton now? Yeah, I mean, talk about a person who doesn't work from home. When is he ever there? This is a story about working from home. Hang on. Maybe I'll have to do this in the next hour because I'm running out of time here. So let's wipe some of these calls up. Bath. Hello, John.
Hey, Nick. In terms of the parakeet Kew Gardens phenomenon that's going on, I just think we should probably think about doing some kind of a exchange program with some of the local chicken shops. And I think, you know what they say, you know, a parakeet in the hand is worth two in the chicken shop.
I did not know that.
No, yeah, I
haven't actually heard that. But, you know, if they were good eating, if there was a bit more meat on them, then they would not be a problem. Because
it would solve the problem, crisscross.
We'd have crisscross. We'd have eliminated them by now.
Do you know the funny thing is, this is no word of a lie. You can look it up if you like. Years and years ago, there was a Cypriot restaurant just behind where you're working now. It's closed now.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a lovely gentleman there, and everyone used to say, oh, he's so lovely, he feeds all the pigeons in Trafalgar Square.
Uh-oh.
Do I need to carry on?
No.
Yeah, it was raided, and it was in the Camden Journal.
Really?
Yeah, so, you know, that's what we need with the parakeets.
Yeah, we definitely do, yeah. Somebody should be doing something about it. I mean, this is an invasive species. It's not good for our British songbirds, which people feel particularly strongly about, British songbirds. I mean, the beautiful noise they make.
And you mentioned squirrels. You know, I actually saw a picture of a black squirrel. They're so beautiful.
Black?
Yeah. And it's just like, we, you know, we don't have the red ones. We don't have the black ones. I think these grey ones might have come from France or from America. I'm not quite sure where they came. It's a bit like the shrimp that have gone into our lakes.
Right.
The crayfishes that have just, like, they're decimated. They just sort of, like, some moron decided to bring a few over.
Yes.
I don't understand why you would do that. But honestly, have a look at a black squirrel. It's very pretty.
Oh, I never even heard of such a thing.
Yeah, yeah, very pretty little
right.
thing. But, you know, but I'm happy to have a few kind of deep-fried southern parakeets.
if that'll keep their numbers down, then I'm all for it, yeah.
Could I just say, you could probably come up with a better word for this, but, you know, you were talking about on your list of Donald Trump things.
Mm.
I think if he could, he would change the name of America, too.
Trumpylvania.
Yeah, I can't work out what it would be, Trumpistan, or, you know, I don't know what it would be. But he would, because he's done it to the Kennedy Center.
Yes, done it to the Kennedy Center. He wants to do it to Dulles Airport. He wants to do it to some train interchange. I mean, the man, I've just kind of, I'm virtually speechless now. This is the world's most powerful human. Can you believe it?
He's just created us all being in a constant state of discombobulation.
Yes, right.
Well, we just don't know what to think or say because he just ups the ante.
Exactly. It's called flooding the zone. And we don't have to guess that that's what it's called because they told us that that's what it's called. They told us the plan. They said what they were going to do and then they did it.
But I would say to you is I love Kew Gardens like you do, and I have noticed the parakeet situation.
Yeah.
And I've noticed them, when I come back to London, Portobello Road, there's lots of them round here. Right. I don't understand that. I don't see so many in Bath. But
who would it upset if we actually did something about it? You don't have to torture them first. Just get rid of them in some way. Just put some sort of, not poison, you don't have to go that far. You could just stop them laying eggs and making new parakeets.
Yeah, because they're like the chav of birds.
Yeah.
They're kind of so vulgar and over the top.
Right.
They're just like, they're not a beautiful species, are they?
No.
And there's too many of them.
And they sound awful. We're still talking about parakeets, right?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. All right, thanks a lot, John. 0345-6060-973. Oh, this is alarming. Karen says, when I move my head, I hear little noises like sparklers in the back of my skull. Huh. Karen, are you wearing a noddy hat by any chance? A big conical hat with a bell on the end. Have you got one of them on? You want to check? Just trying to help. Am I helping yet?
No.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at midnight. Two men are now serving life sentences for planning a gun attack on a mass gathering of Jewish people in the Manchester area. A court heard how 38-year-old Walid Sadawi and Amar Hussein, who's 52, were inspired by so-called Islamic State. Dave Rich is the head of policy at the Community Safety Trust, which provides security to the Jewish community. He's told LBC it's on all of us to tackle anti-Semitism.
Absolutely appalling attack on the Jewish community in Manchester that was intended to kill huge numbers of people. The police and the security services did a great job in stopping that plot, but there are more cases. We know that the threat is still there. So there's a big challenge to us all now, not just to rely on police and security services to stop everything, but how do we bring down the levels of hatred?
An email is appearing to show Andrew Mountbatten Windsor spoke to a Libyan contact about a meeting for Jeffrey Epstein. It's being suggested the dead paedophile was trying to arrange talks with Colonel Gaddafi in Tripoli during the autumn of 2010. Andrew has denied any wrongdoing through his connections with Epstein. The Prime Minister is due to claim peace would fall apart across Europe should Reform UK or the Green Party take power. It's expected he'll reference a famous remark from the outbreak of the First World War at the Munich Security Conference later on today. In 1914, Sir Edward Grey spoke about the lamps going out over Europe. Dr. Ian Lesser is from the German Marshall Fund, which promotes transatlantic cooperation. He's told LBC delegates will be looking for constructive input from the United States.
Last year at Munich Security Conference, J.D. Vance, the vice president, came and delivered a very disturbing, to many Europeans, disturbing speech that was talking about the culture wars in Europe. This is likely to be much more about foreign and security policy. Yes, it'll be about burden sharing, but I don't think it's going to have the edge that Vice President Vance managed to convey last year.
A 21-year-old woman is beginning a prison sentence of 6 years after killing two people in a car crash in Gloucestershire. Liberty Mitchell from Chipping Norton had only just turned 18 when it happened, less than a month after passing her test. And in sport, Matt Whiston has won Great Britain's first medal of the Winter Olympics in Italy, taking gold, rather, in the men's skeleton. He led going into the final run, having broken the track record twice. LBC weather clear for most areas, with wintry showers for the northeast and parts of Northern Ireland. Patchy rain and snow will clear the south of England overnight. We'll see a low of around -2 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
Yeah!
I don't believe I've ever met him. I'm pretty sure I didn't meet him. And I just don't know anything about him.
Just don't know anything about him. Grateful in Norwich says, I've taken your constant unrequested advice and stopped consuming the news. I'm a week in and I feel great. I am worried that I won't know when it's time to run and hide, but I'm hoping that that will pass. Yes. Yeah, if it's all becoming a bit too... then just dial it down a bit. Stop doom scrolling. It's not doing you any good. This is excellent advice, by the way, and you should take it. If you find yourself just scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, for like, desperate for the next outrage, then you are addicted to the chemicals that your brain produces when you are frightened and angry. And there's a lot of that. I think that the phone is probably the most addictive thing that man has ever invented. Or woman, sexist. And the news cycle is you know, some people can cope with it, and some people just can read it and take it on board and put the phone down or the paper or whatever and just get on with their lives. But other people are negatively affected by it. And if that's you, then you should probably give yourself a little mental holiday. Newcastle. Hello, Jed.
Hi, Nick. Hi. How are we doing?
Good, thanks.
We all know that you're the bastion of truth and numbers. So I decided to go to the other place for that sort of thing, GBB News, to see how they were reporting on Ratcliffe's comments that rattled the snowflakes and that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I got over there and I didn't manage to see anything on that because I was confronted with... I don't want to come over misogynist or sexist or horrible, but there was a presenter on there. She looked vaguely familiar, but her face was screwed up with such hate and it looked like her makeup had been done by Pennywise. Now, thankfully, GB News, I haven't found it in HD anywhere. It's all like a little bit fuzzy and badly focused and
okay.
So anyway, they went on to the news feature they were doing, and it was the Pam Bondi hearings.
Mm.
And obviously, she's there obfuscating and lying and shouting insults back at the other committee members and that. So it cuts back to the studio, and this presenter goes, she doesn't critique Bondi's answers or anything. Her response was, well, if you think we're sending our Andrew over there to face that sort of chaos, they've got another thing coming.
Oh, wow. Read the room. Good grief.
And so then I did a little bit of research found out this lady.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember a lovely woman who used to do primetime breakfast TV back in the day? She used to laugh, joke with her co-presenters. Anne Diamond?
No.
And that, I mean, like, you know, she was everywhere in the, must talk in the 80s, 90s yeah, or something, isn't it?
Isn't she the one that sold her wedding to a chocolate bar company? Something like that. I might have that wrong, but, wow.
She might have lost all her money, you know, when Lloyd's, all them celebs lost their money when Lloyd's went down.
I've got no idea.
She must need the cash, I don't know.
Well, maybe she just is expressing her inner ire. Maybe she's, you know, she's always felt that way. She's just been, you know, smiling through the pain. And now she ain't smiling no more.
That's must be it, Nick. Yeah. You've got it.
Well, thanks for the bad news, Jed. I appreciate it. Tom in Plymouth says, Nick, Britain can't cope with 3 inches of snow, but we're apparently ready to lead the world. The only thing we lead in is panic buying bread and arguing about grit. We're ready to lead the world in doing what? Kevin from Texas says, Nick, I really feel sorry for Keir Starmer because he has seen how the media destroyed Corbyn and probably tells himself that he's going to be the opposite of Corbyn and still can't get any good press from the media. He must be confused now. They're never going to write a single solitary good thing about him. It's like sharks have sensed blood in the water and they are so desperate to get fag ash into number 10 and they're going to do anything that they can in order to make that happen, which is kind of odd. I mean, why? Why would a small handful of billionaires who don't even live here be so desperate for fag ash to get into number 10? I'm just asking questions. And Karen says, Atlantic meridional overturning circulation. That's easy for you to say. Yes, Karen, it is. Atlantic meridional overturning circulation. Easy. Rare yellow weather warning. Difficult. I bet I couldn't say rare yellow weather warning more than three times without screwing it up. Or red lorry, yellow lorry. There's another one. Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled pepper. I've always found that relatively easy. If Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled pepper, where's the peck of pickled pepper Peter Piper picked? But red, yellow, red, see, I can't even... Now I'm thinking about it, I can't do it anymore. Rare yellow weather warning. Rare yellow weather warning. Rare yellow weather warning. Rare yellow weather warning. Easy. Any fool could do that. Let's see now. Horton Le Spring. Louise.
Hi, Nick.
Louise.
Nick, was it not Anthea Turner who sold her wedding photos to a chocolate company?
Oh, right.
Rather than Anne Diamond.
Okay, yes. I'm not very familiar with all those daytime TV people.
Yeah, I think that, I think it was her. But now she's saying that she definitely didn't do that. Right. I read that in the newspaper somewhere. I was in London today.
So, in short, I take everything that I said back. Don't listen to me. Nobody should listen to this show.
Okay, should we switch it off?
Yeah.
I was in London today, and I went to a fantastic place that I've never been to before.
Yeah.
And it's behind King's Cross. There's some loads and loads of bars and restaurants and things like that.
Yes.
And I was sitting having a lunch, and I was reading a newspaper article on my phone, and I started to laugh maniacally, and I couldn't, sometimes the more you try not to laugh out loud, because I was on my own, the more that you can't help it.
Right.
And I was reading a newspaper article about what I now know to be the Museum of Failure. Have you heard of this?
No. Is that in King's Cross as well?
No, it isn't. It tours. And at the moment, it's at a museum in Paris. And this museum, it's full of things that have just not taken off. And when you start to find out what's in the museum, you can really appreciate it. So, for example, there's a couple of dolls, children's dolls. One of them had teeth and hospitalised some children because they were they were bitten.
Teeth.
Another one, when you turned its arms, you rotated its arms, and it had boobs that grew, and that one was deemed to be highly inappropriate, of course.
What? Well, they used to have one that that pooped its pants.
Disgusting.
Am I imagining that, or was there actually a doll that pooped its pants?
I think. Are you not thinking of a scene in With Nail and I? When Danny talks about having invented such a thing.
No.
Oh, well, he does.
Well, okay, maybe not pooped its pants, but maybe peed its pants. I am pretty sure that there was a doll that needed a nappy.
Yes, every little girl had one. I had one of those.
Are you kidding?
We all had them.
Really? No.
Yeah, we all had them. They were supposed to be realistic. They were ridiculous. So some of the other nonsense things that are in this museum are, in terms of contraception, there was a spray on. Shall we call it a French letter, Nick? I don't know how explicit we're allowed to be on the radio.
That'll do. Yeah.
A spray on one, which took too long to actually set, and a pair of heated pants.
Heated pants. Oh, now that sounds great.
No, heated pants that warmed the male area up.
Oh.
So warm that procreation was impossible.
Yeah. I do love my car is very, very old. I mean, so old that it's got a CD player in the dash. but it does have heated seats.
Wow.
I love heated seats. Every seat should be heated. Am I right?
Absolutely, they should. Absolutely. I feel exactly the same way. No heated seats in this list because they obviously wouldn't have failed.
No.
There's giant darts in the museum which weigh a kilogram each and injured lots of people. There's a urinal, which is like a golf club, so that when you're playing golf, if you're into that kind of thing, you don't have to leave the, I don't know what you call it, a green, I don't know. But guess what's that, in there?
That has to be against most golf club rules, I would imagine.
I think everything is against most golf.
Well, I think so, yeah. You have to tuck your shirt in and you have to wear the appropriate headgear and you can't pee on the greens. No, I'm pretty sure it says that.
Apparently not unless you're funneling it through a hollow golf club.
No doubt, yeah.
But guess what was in from the UK in the Museum of Failure?
I imagine this is a setup to a joke, but go on.
No, oh, okay. It isn't.
Tell me.
Brexit is in...
Brexit. Well, yeah. And that's and that is a facility that is currently located in France, you say.
It is.
Well,
apparently.
I'll look forward to buying a ticket if it ever comes around our way.
Exactly.
Okay, good work.
Well, that's it, Nick. Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks a lot, Louise. Thanks for that. Brexit a failure?
Brexit was never going to solve any of our domestic problems.
Oh, really? Huh. Curious that you didn't say that before the vote. That you only said it after the vote. That comes as something of a surprise.
Brexit was never going to solve any of our domestic problems.
Brexit was never going to solve any of our domestic problems. Huh. I'm pretty sure they didn't have that on the side of a bus. Otherwise, I would have noticed. How odd. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
Weekdays from 7 a.m.
They have fatal incompetence.
Straight to the point.
What is the problem they've got over there?
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
The country's going backwards. Growth down. Energy prices up.
Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store. LBC.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard this Air France message. Craving an unforgettable destination where culture, history, architecture, romance, and the excellence of French gastronomy all meet? With Air France, Paris and all its delights have never been closer. Starting March the 29th, enjoy twice daily flights to Paris from £98 from London Gatwick, return including tax. Elegance is a journey. Air France. To book and for terms and conditions, visit airfrance.co.uk.
This time last year, Hassan was working in sales and spent his evenings gaming. Now, he's working as a prison officer.
You know what's going to happen, it's not worth it. Let's just go in there.
He's tackled cell fires, got through to some of the most challenging prisoners, and helped support their rehabilitation. He's done things he once thought he was never capable of, but he still loves his gaming. An extraordinary job done by someone like you. Search prison jobs now.
Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
This is preposterous.
That is true. John in Addleston says, I bought the paperback version of your book for myself and sent the audio version to my sister-in-law, who lives on the west coast of America with her American wife partner of over 30 years. Since the ICE killings in Minneapolis recently, she is genuinely worried and paranoid about opening the email with the link to your book, so she hasn't read it. How sad and somewhat disturbing is that? Yeah. With the emphasis on disturbing. You know, we joke about stuff like this, and, you know, I have a laugh with our excellent US correspondent Simon Marks about, you know, well, you shouldn't sleep in the same place two nights in a row, and, you know, and make sure you take the SIM card out of your phone so that they can't find you. But it's only partly a joke. And it happened so quickly. I imagine people on the History Channel were saying the exact same thing all of those years ago. Happened so quickly. We didn't think that the tiger would bite our face off. Brendan says people need to stop asking if people believe in climate change. It's science, not Santa Claus. Correct, Amundo. Bridport in Dorset. Hello, Steve.
Yeah, hi.
Steve.
Yeah, good evening.
Steve.
Nick.
Yes.
Can I just say, Nick, when I phoned in, I was asked if I'd phoned in before.
Yeah.
Not only haven't I phoned in before, I've never heard your programme before.
Oh,
I just happened to switch it on.
Well, I'd like to apologise for everything that you've heard so far.
Okay. Yeah, no, reason for ringing, a bit more serious than some of the other stuff.
Oh, no.
The NHS, yeah, I know. The NHS.
Yes.
If anybody in government, MPs, the Lords, senior civil servants, the royal family, weren't allowed to use private healthcare,
mm-hmm.
then it would get sorted out, wouldn't it?
It would be significantly better than it is now, yes. Schools. If none of the above were allowed to send their children to private schools, then public schools...
Yeah.
Would be significantly better. But oddly, public schools are private schools. Why is that? Mm-hmm. A public school is a private school, but the words public and private are opposites. Why do they mean the same thing?
Because we're British.
Is that it? Right.
Yeah.
I knew there had to be some logical explanation. All right, excellent work. Thanks a lot, Steve. Yeah, that seems logical. If they had to rely on the service that we have to rely on, then the service that we all rely on would be significantly better run. Yeah. And, of course, it's the Conservative Party that are solely responsible for smashing up the NHS, because before they came to power, the year before they came to power, in 2010, the NHS was the number one ranked health service in the world. Ask the world what they think about a health service now. And you'll get a mixture of jollity and pity. Let's see. Somerset. Hello, John.
Oh, hello, Nick. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Are you Nick in Piccadilly?
Am I Nick in Piccadilly?
You are. LBC's in Piccadilly, isn't it?
No. Close.
Oh. Close? Oh, sorry. Well, whatever.
It's near. We can probably see Piccadilly from some of the windows in the building, but we're not actually in Piccadilly, no.
Oh, okay. Well, for once, I'm the only person in radio history at the moment who's got his facts wrong. Well, apart from Nazawi, what's his name?
Yeah, Nazawi, yeah.
Oh my God, I haven't listened to your programme earlier on, so I don't know if anyone else has talked about it.
Some people did mention his appearance at, in passing, yeah.
Did you hear the whole interview, though?
No.
You didn't?
No.
Okay, but do you know about that he said he was frightened, even though he's a big guy?
Yeah.
And there was a bloke coming towards him, and he crossed the street to avoid him?
Yes.
And he lives in a very affluent area.
Now, are you saying that Nadeem Zahawi crossed the street to avoid this guy, or the guy crossed the street to avoid Nadeem Zahawi?
If I'd have been that guy, I would have crossed the
street.
I would have crossed the street to join Reform, and then they both would have had to cross the street.
Right.
Backwards and forwards to avoid each other.
Each other.
That's correct. Because I know the identity of the person.
Ah, yes.
That he was crossing the street to avoid.
Who?
Well, I've worked it out all day.
Go on.
Because he said... This guy looked like he hadn't slept for, like, 3 days.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wait.
Uh-huh.
That's him.
He looked dishevelled and tired. Yeah, tired as in...
Booze.
Yeah.
He looked like he'd just been to Peppa Pig World.
Yeah, well, we all know what is in Peppa Pig World, don't we?
Correct. Yeah. The great big greedy nincompoop.
That great big greedy nincompoop, yeah.
Well, he hadn't integrated himself properly. I mean, the other guy that crossed the road to, you know, well, I'm getting confused.
Imagine how I feel. I didn't hear any of it.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
But it was absolutely mental because I listened to the interview, and as he was saying it to Nick Ferrari, he said, I had to cross the road because there's this guy walking towards me, and I'm in a very affluent area. And Nick Ferrari said to him, well, was there anything about the guy that made you feel threatened? I mean,
yeah.
Was he drunk, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And what's his name again?
Nadim Azawi.
Nadim Azawi. He said...
That's close enough for jazz, yeah.
He said, and I was saying, but he couldn't say it.
Right, but he didn't. But he didn't say that, and we lost that, by the way, because you put words in his mouth. He didn't say that. He said I understand, is he said he looked tired. That's what somebody said to me that they said they heard from him, and it's all got very complicated. But anyway, thanks a lot, John. Jill says, I keep seeing photos of the slumpy lump without his makeup on. He looks so old and sickly. Oh, you mean slumpy lump? The slumpy lump. Wow.
Don't talk to me that way. I'm the president of the United States. Don't ever talk to the president that way.
Now, I've also, not only do I have the Trump bingo card, but I also have the list of names that we've come up with for Donald Trump. And I think the slumpy lump has to go on there, doesn't it? That list, by the way, is in my book, along with the bingo card. Captain Fat Sparrow, Emperor Gropatini, Dozy Don, Redaction Man, King Con... that's a good one. King Con, get it? Don with the Wind. Yes. Those are all in my book, which is coincidentally called Thank You for Your Attention to This Matter. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Natasha in East Sussex says, I have a new item for your bingo card. Trumpolion. Trumpolion will create his own flag to replace the existing MAGA logo, which will have to fly on public buildings instead of the stars and stripes. No. No. Not even he would do that. That's a big no. No. He'd be as likely to do that as he would be to ban military assault weapons, you know, because people need those for hunting. Hunting people. Adelaide. Paul.
Hello, Nick. I'm actually calling from 1,000 kilometres north of Adelaide in the middle of the desert.
Oh,
how's
really? That doesn't sound safe.
Well, it's all right where I am. But I just wanted you lot to know that we've got our own version of Nigel Faggash over here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, her name's Pauline Hanson. And I do advise anyone actually not to look her up because she's quite a horrible individual.
I'm going to look her up
now. You're not suffering alone, all right? She's equally as nutty.
Well, so. There seems to be a lot of it about at the moment.
I know. But whatever she's for, and old Nigel's for, I think they're in cahoots, but there you go.
Well, yes, I think that there's a lot of people who are trying to, you know, get far right-wing parties into... places of power, and I don't know about cahoots, but they certainly seem to have the same friends and supporters.
They do indeed. I think Mr. Murdoch likes her, so there you go. I'll tell you, mate. Don't take up any more of your time.
Well, okay, excellent work. Thanks a lot, Paul. You believe that the clarity of a call coming from as far away as it's possible to get on planet Earth without launching yourself into space. Pauline Lee Hanson, formerly Pauline Seacombe, formerly Pauline Zakorski, an Australian politician who is the founder and leader of One Nation, a right-wing populist political party.
Oh, no.
One of those. Hanson has represented Queensland in the Australian Senate since 2016, which is another excellent reason not to go to Australia. Queensland specifically. I'll never go there. It's just too far away. I mean, what's there that you can't get by travelling a shorter distance somewhere else? Plus, you know, everything there. There's about 1,000 different ways to die in Australia. It's almost as though God or nature, whichever one you believe in, is telling us not to go there. It filled the place with 1,000 different ways to die. I mean, you'd think that, you know, human beings would have got the message. But they keep piling in there. Crazy. Natasha in East Sussex says... Oh, no, that's the change the Stars and Stripes for the MAGA logo. No. Definitely not. And where else? Fiona says, mastermind question for Trump specialist. Oh, this was some while ago. Somebody set a task. Not that we were paying it any heed, but somebody did set a task. What question in the future would be on mastermind for somebody whose specialist subject was Donald Trump? Which nighttime LBC presenter was sued by Donald Trump for $10 billion for making fun of his weight? Well, it wasn't $10 billion. Be precise.
$8,737,540,000.
Yeah, to be exact. 0345-6060-973. It's 12:30 on LBC, the news headlines with Tim Daly.
The Prime Minister is due to claim that peace would fall apart across Europe should Reform UK or the Green Party take power. It's expected he'll reference a famous remark from the outbreak of the First World War at the Munich Security Conference later on today. An email's appearing to show Andrew Mountbatten Windsor spoke to a Libyan contact about a meeting for Jeffrey Epstein. It's being suggested the dead paedophile was trying to arrange talks with Colonel Gaddafi. Andrew has denied any wrongdoing. And two men are now serving life sentences for planning a gun attack on a mass gathering of Jewish people in the Manchester area. A court heard 38-year-old Waleed Sadawi and Amar Hussein, who's 52, were inspired by so-called Islamic State. LBC weather clear for most areas with wintry showers in the northeast and parts of Northern Ireland. We'll see patchy rain and snow clear the south of England overnight, and we'll see lows of around minus 2 degrees.
This is LBC.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics, with over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Sunlight's guaranteed over 50 plan gave confidence to Jane and Chris. With their insurance sorted, they're becoming naturists. Cutting loose in their birthday suits, feeling elegant and free. But when they answered the door, the postman saw more than he expected to see. Sunlight, a little confidence goes a long way. No medical questions and a cash payout. Search Sunlight cover today.
Premiums paid could exceed the payment. Full cover after 1 year. Ages 49 to 85.
When ordinary people take on extraordinary challenges. When it's the finale after weeks of competition. When it's time to go big or go home.
So, who do you want to win?
Him.
Him?
Good hair.
Classic reason, yeah?
Nothing brings us together like great TV. And a TV licence covers you to watch all TV channels with all the reality shows you love to talk about. Search TV licence together.
Chase is the digital bank that gives you 1% cash back on groceries.
So can I get cash back on cake mix?
Indeed.
And icing?
Yep.
And sprinkles?
Sure.
And candles?
Yeah, and you can turn all that cash back into a nice birthday treat.
How do you know it's my birthday?
Just a hunch. Get 1% cash back on groceries, fuel and everyday transport when you spend with Chase. Search Chase Bank. 18 plus UK residents. 1% cash back on this debit card spending for your first year. Maximum £15 per month. Eligibility and exceptions apply. May be changed or withdrawn.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott.
They opened their big mouths and out came talk.
Karen says John Lithgow in the thermostat scene with Will Ferrell and Mel Gibson and the Wahlberg fella. Love that scene. I have no idea what you're talking about. When I mentioned John Lithgow before, it was his appearance in Third Rock from the Sun, which is very silly but absolutely hilarious. It's my favourite sitcom ever. And his performance in it is, I think, the best performance in a sitcom including Phil Silvers as Sergeant Bilko. But in the thermostat scene with Will Ferrell, Mel Gibson and the Wahlberg fella. Karen, you lost me at Will Ferrell, Mel Gibson and the Wahlberg fella. Not remotely interested. Will Ferrell, he has to be the least funny person that I've ever seen. Although he did, it wasn't too annoying because he didn't go on very long. It was relatively brief. He appeared as the German in the updated version of Mel Brooks' Producers, which is hilarious. Not necessarily him in it, but, you know, the film in general. But not particularly interested in seeing Mel Gibson anymore. And as for the Wahlberg fella, not really. But Will Ferrell, no. Gabriel in Hackney says, this morning I boarded the early train from Waterloo to Bournemouth for a photo shoot, only for the train to cancel halfway through at Southampton, with no trains running to my destination all morning. I decided to cut my losses, spending all of 10 minutes in Southampton, and return back to London with no refund, having to pay for a new ticket back for my troubles. In the space of 2 hours, I travelled to the coast, only to return back to where I started from for the princely sum of £100. Blimey. You must be able to get a refund. If you bought a ticket to Bournemouth and it stopped at Southampton and didn't go all the way, then you've got to be able to get your money back, surely. I'm always amazed that it actually works. You book a train on a certain app, and they make it so easy that you just think, well, why not? Just hit one button on the app, and it automatically applies for a refund and gives it to you. Amazing. It is extraordinary sometimes when things work, because you expect that they just won't. You just assume that nothing will work. And when it does work, it's like, oh, can't believe it. Adam says, surely all the climate scaremongering at the start of your show is now obsolete, now that King Con, has reversed the danger of greenhouse gases. Yeah, or as Toya used to say, greenhouse gatheth. Yeah, King Con has reversed the danger of greenhouse gases simply by saying that they don't exist. Problem solved. And Mark in Huddersfield says, I have found myself thinking with an Australian accent with an upwards inflection when repeating any American mantra. If you say things like the land of the free and the home of the brave, just add a question mark to the end of it. Trust me, it works. Just treat them as though they are no longer statements of fact, but a query. Hail to the chief. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. And, of course, making America great again. I don't know how Australians do that. I mean, it seems like such an effort to go up at the end of every sentence, whether or not it's a question. And how can they differentiate between what is and is not a question? It's amazing that country works as well as it does. Karen says, I have a teeny, tiny, hurty thing on my tongue and it feels quite big. But when I look in the mirror, it's smaller than a pinhead. Yeah, those things. I hate those things. It's very, very difficult to think beyond one of those little, whatever they are. It's like, it's like a spot on the end of your tongue. And you look in the mirror and you think it's going to be colossal. It'd be about the size of a ping pong ball. And then you look in the mirror and there's nothing there. But it's very, very hard to think past it. But I have to say, Karen.
Stop whining.
And this says, honestly, I think Trump thinks he's a god. It's Ozymandias all over again. Yes. Yes. Yes, it is. And I do believe that he does think he's a god. And has the same... he's impelled to follow the rules in the same way as, a vengeance-bound Greek god would. Dave in Paul says, I'm too scared to leave the house now due to how scruffy and sleepy... scruffy and sleepy everyone is. Nadim has a point. Yeah, that's right. Very, very scary people out there. which is why I dress in the manner that I do, in order to fit right in. Brendan says, did you ever read what happened to Superman's home planet, Krypton? Joe L., Superman's daddy, was a scientist who warned the rulers that they were killing the planet, but they ignored him. So he sent the Man of Steel off to our wonderful planet in a little spaceship. Looks like he may need to relocate. Yeah, don't put down any strong links to this planet. You might not be around for very long. Let's see now. Atlanta, Georgia. Graham.
Hey, Nick.
Graham.
There's a satirist named Tom Lehrer. Have you ever heard of him?
Poisoning pigeons in the park.
There you go. Yep.
Are you suggesting that that's what I do to the parakeets?
No.
Oh.
I think you've got a good idea with the contraceptives. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. Well, apparently but that is something
what is that... What is that substance?
I've got no idea. But another thing that people have considered for pigeons and these parakeets is getting sparrowhawks because, they eat them. And I would encourage sparrowhawks to do just that.
You mentioned that a couple of weeks ago.
Did I? Right. And still, nobody's doing anything about it. Can you believe that?
It is you.
Couple of weeks go by, and I've suggested an excellent solution to this problem, and no one has done anything about it.
Well, it's like you and the weather, you know? It's a skeptical.
It's skeptical.
Isn't that the right word?
I don't think so.
Well, your Friday weather's...
Speculative, do you mean?
Speculative, yeah, I reckon.
Right. So, Atlanta, Georgia, have you had any... there's been no ICE raids in Atlanta, Georgia? Because that's a red state, isn't it? That's Trump's people in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, it's a sort of a sanctuary city, but... and there is a section of the city outside the city in the next county over that's got quite a mix of individuals. But it's relatively easy here. I mean, it's not that difficult. And this business of the whole world, America exploding, I'm quite comfortable whether I'm here or in my place in North Carolina.
Yeah, well, of course, America isn't exploding. It's just that when it does in certain locations, then it makes the news and it makes it seem like all of America is like that. But it's absolutely not, because it's just so big.
Well, it's the blue cities that are all blown up.
Well, they're not all blowing up, but it's blowing up by design where Trump is sending his goons. It's not an accident. He's sending them into places where they're going to get a reaction, and the reaction is the point of the whole process, because it makes it sort of underlines the fact that you cannot protest against the regime for fear of getting shot.
Well, let me change the subject, which is not really changing it, but what would happen if I overstayed my visa visiting my cousin in Hartwood? What would a heart feel? What would happen if I overstayed my visa and I got pinched? What would happen?
I don't know. They probably put you on a plane.
Why?
Because your visa has expired. Or they might ask you if you want to extend your visa. I don't really know. But they wouldn't shoot you if that's what you're asking.
No, Les. No, come on. Don't go extreme.
Well, it's not extreme. It's happened. It's happened, Graham.
Well, I know, but the problem is that every country, it's a violation to cross the frontier without papers. I mean, isn't that true?
No, it's not true. It depends on what you're doing it for. If you are trying to claim asylum, then it's not illegal to claim asylum. If you are planning to work illegally, then that is, by definition, against the law.
Well, isn't that kind of what happened down south? I mean, not only that, how many frontiers did they cross before they got here? That same thing in the UK. How many frontiers were crossed before some folks got to Dover or wherever they washed up?
Right, but most of the people that were on the move are probably on the move because of the actions of the countries in the West. You know, starting wars or pillaging the land for, you know, what wealth it does have and so on. And most of them end up in Europe. A very small trickle actually makes it to this country.
Right.
And my question...
Not in our case.
Yeah, my question to people who object to that is, well, why should France take everybody and we take nobody? Being as we are just as guilty of causing ferment and disaster in the world as the French, at the very least.
Well, there's a couple of countries on the other side of the Med that could take them too.
Well, they do. Most countries take much more than we do, like significantly more. Greece and Italy and Germany and I mean, all of the countries in Europe take more than we do. We're way down the list. But in America, it's different because, you know, the border is with Mexico, and that's where a significant number of the people are coming from, looking to do work that Americans don't want to do, you know. I mean, who mows your lawn now, Graham?
I do.
You do? Right. There you go.
The other question I had was, was America founded by the dregs of Europe?
Yes.
Or the brightest?
Not the brightest, no.
The dregs.
The people who couldn't make it here.
The dregs all left.
The people who lost, yes.
Well, my dad, both my parents were British, and they left a sinking ship.
Right. Well, that's not very patriotic.
No, not really, but I still drink tea at 4.
You do? That's a whole hour. That's a whole hour too late, Graham.
What?
Tea at 3.
Tea at 3.
Yeah. See,
I'll have to change my ways.
Yeah, and don't even get started. Get me started on English muffins, which aren't
now. Which aren't now? How long? Do you make leaf tea or do you make a bag tea?
I used to do bags, but now I do leaf. Because I read a negative story about bags. They have all of that plastic. It just leaks into your cup, and you drink a credit card's worth of plastic a year. Did you know that?
Drink and tea?
Well, drink and eat and just, absorb.
Yeah, right. Containers and whatnot.
A credit card's worth of plastic year is rolling around your body.
Oh, isn't that a preservative? Don't they coat things with plastic to preserve them?
That's a good point. Yeah, I didn't think of that. Yeah, we'll all live much longer. Yeah,
I've just epoxied a door I made, and it was that's plastic.
You epoxied a door. Well, you're lucky to be alive, Graham. I would.
I know.
Yeah. Make sure your affairs are in order. You might not make it through the night.
I'm a handy guy. I cut my grass. And out my door.
Right. You're handy. You live just around the corner. Yeah. Okay.
That's right.
Good talking to you, Graham. Thanks for that. 0345 6060973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Clive Bull.
How safe do you feel walking around city streets? Do you welcome Keir Starmer wanting stronger bonds with Europe? And it's the 20th anniversary of chip and pin payments.
Clive Bull at 1. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
You know that guy I've been seeing?
Yeah.
Turns out my sister's been seeing him too.
Oh, really?
And I heard he's been seeing Kelly at number 56. And Dave.
Your brother?
Yep.
Specsavers opticians and audiologists own and run their stores. So your care is their business, which can make them rather popular.
I've got something to tell you. I've got half an hour with him this afternoon.
Specsavers, your care is our business. Book an appointment today.
This is 40-year-old Kathy, mother of two and self-confessed telly addict.
Daddy? Oh, look at you, that's brilliant. Well done.
This is also Kathy, working as part of a team to keep things calm at her local prison. and helping someone's son write his first letter home in 8 months.
Well done, you should be really proud.
Thank you, miss.
An extraordinary job, done by someone like you. Search prison jobs now.
Discover the world of Dobble, back in McDonald's Happy Meal. Race through the worlds of music, sports, space and more. How quickly can your little one spot the match? Dobble's bursting with fun. Some fun, some food, it's all inside this Happy Meal. Until the 5th of March 2026, from 11 a.m, includes one pre-selected book or toy. Dobble range comprises toys only, while stocks last.
Our pet's in a pickle. We know what it's like welcoming a new pet into the family. They're cute, they're chaos, and sometimes they get themselves into a pickle. That's why we offer fuss-free pet insurance policies with unlimited video call access with First Vet. For pet insurance policies as unique as they are, visit petsinapickle.co.uk.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Come on, we're running late!
We are running late. Brendan says, did you ever read what happened to Superman's Hope? No, I read that. Krypton. Needed to relocate. Roddy says, I know you love Breaking Bad. There's a new series by the same writer called Pluribus. It's brilliant, take my word for it, says Roddy. I most certainly will do nothing of the sort, but I will check it out. A new series by the same writer. Well, that doesn't necessarily always indicate success, does it? Because the guy that did The Sopranos did another series. Was it that thing that was in New Orleans? Narlands. Which wasn't very good at all. I think it was the same guy that did The Sopranos.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm finally reading that book, by the way. I don't know who gave it to me. It was probably, it must have been it was either my, like a sibling, or a reader, a listener. Either way, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's very good. And it makes me want to see it all over again. All of it. All over again. Again, again, again. Jay says, so we're currently sitting around 400 parts per million of CO2 in the atmosphere. Plant life grows best at 1,100 parts per million. Large commercial greenhouses use CO2 generators to boost growth at 300 parts per million. Plant life dies and we follow closely behind. Now give me a good reason for reducing CO2 levels. Those figures are widely available if you want to check. I don't know what point you're making, Jay. You're another one of these people that says that CO2 in the atmosphere is no problem because plants need it. Is that what that was? I'll sum that argument up for you. 0345 6060 973. Let's have Kingston up on Thames. Hello, James.
Oh, my God. Hello, Nick. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, I was just thinking that you might be a bit negative on Australia, so...
Yes.
You know, I just thought I'd beef up Australia for you. You know, there are pythons there. There's lots of, animals there that could kill you.
Yeah, but, No,
I wouldn't say too many. I mean, there's lots of stuff over here that can kill you as well. I've been living here for quite a while.
Like what?
Years,
what here know? Can kill you?
People. People, you know.
Well, yeah, okay, I'll give you that. Yeah, people. But I do believe that they have people in Australia.
Yeah. They're not the same sort of people as over here.
No, they're not. No.
They're slightly racist and they're slightly mean people. But generally, they don't try to kill you like snakes do. So, yeah, I get your point.
Mm.
But what I was trying to say to you is that the Australian animals don't really look to kill people. I mean, sharks, yeah, they have their sort of...
I'd forgotten completely about sharks. Sharks and jellyfish and whatever else you've got going on in the sea there, added to all of the 1,000 ways to die that you got on land.
We do have probably the most amount of deadly creatures known to man in one country.
Don't you find that a bit suspicious?
I wouldn't say suspicious. I think that's the wrong word. I think that's just the way that I don't want to use the word colonised because that's been quite bad this
week.
But that's the way it is.
But it's weird that the nearest landmass is New Zealand and it's got nothing like that. Nothing at all that's poisonous in New Zealand. There isn't a single way to die in New Zealand other than old age.
Well, I mean, is that the nearest landmass or is Papua New Guinea and Indonesia, you know?
Well,
and
nobody knows where they are. No one.
Oh, my God. They have...
nobody knows where they are. That's just a fact.
They have bird-eating spiders up that way.
Oh, well, that's another excellent reason not to look up where they are.
yes, look... Look, I think I'm not trying to. What's the term when you try to promote your country? Yeah. I don't know what that is.
You're not trying to big it up, but
no, I'm not trying to big it up. But you know, apart from the video that I got sent yesterday of my dad's house with a python eating a pigeon.
Oh my God!
And No, that's fair. I mean, a pigeon should be eaten based on your hatred of birds.
Well, yeah, but they should be doing that behind, like, glass, like bulletproof glass in a zoo.
Are you telling me that you should tell snakes to eat? look, all I'm saying is that Australia is a great place to go to.
No, it isn't. And I'll tell you why. It's too far away.
Gone.
Name me one thing that you can find in Australia that you can't find by travelling half that distance.
Well, kangaroos. How about that one?
Okay, I'll give you kangaroos, but...
I'll give you one more.
Go on.
A chicken palmy, right? Do you know what that is?
Chicken parmesan.
Yeah, chicken parmigiana. It is the pub food of Australia. And that will be a chicken schnitzel covered with a red sauce, an Italian red sauce and mozzarella. And it's quite tasty and often served with chips and salad. You know, that's quite nice.
It's amazing that Australians live beyond 20 years old. Are you kidding me? That's what you eat. you're deep fried chicken bits with parmesan and mozzarella on.
Well, it's a chicken schnitzel. So, yeah, it's probably shallow fried, actually. But yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Okay. And what do you got over here?
Fish and chips.
Deep fried fish and chips.
Fish and chips, yeah. Not a great thing to do to a noble fish, really.
No.
But it's not our national dish, of course. Our national dish is chicken jalfrezi.
I thought the national dish was chicken tikka masala.
Yeah, one of them. No? Yeah. Whatever is on the menu, that's the really, really hot one. Bring that to me in a pint of lager, please.
Yeah, I'm all right with that.
And then watch me sweat my clothes off. Yeah. All right, good talking to you, Joe. Hey, by the way, if Australia is so great, how come you're here?
I got an English dad, you know, South London and all that sort of jazz. He went to Australia and I came back here, so that's the way it is.
Right. That's a pretty flimsy excuse, if you don't mind my saying so.
Oh, I think that's a bit harsh, but yeah. No, fair enough, Nick.
All right. Thanks a lot, James. Fair dues. Mike in Wolverhampton says, Nick, please tell me you watched Bad Bunny's halftime show at the Super Bowl. How can you not move your hips to that? And you'd have to love the Lady Gaga cameo. Yes, I did watch Bad Bunny's halftime show at the Super Bowl. I had no idea who he was. I didn't know anything about Bad Bunny other than he has got a really stupid name. Which is a fact. I didn't know who he was. I just assumed he was a rapper. Wasn't it the last one that they did that had Snoopy Dogg and all those other rappers? And that show was great. The white guy came on at the end. What's his name? You know, the white rapper at the end. That guy. Anyway, Bad Bunny's halftime show. I thought it was tremendous. I loved it. Didn't know who he was. I've never heard of him. I had no clue. I didn't even know he sang in Spanish. But apparently that was a step too far for Trump and his maggot fans. You know, these people. It was so bad that they had to had to run away like a bunch of crying snowflakes to put on their own halftime show with with Kid Rock. Oh, really?
Oh, fabulous.
Anybody want to see that?
No.
No. No, they don't. Right, that's it. Sorry, I couldn't get to all of your messages. I'll get to your messages this evening when I return to do my normal, abnormal show. And unfortunately, I couldn't get all to all of your calls because, you know, I was up to my eyeballs dealing with the issues. But if you missed any of today's show, you can listen back on Global Player or the new LBC app. And the thing to ask for is Nick Abbott, the whole show podcast. Exclusive to Global Player or the new LBC app. Nick Abbott, the whole show podcast. We put the Friday and Saturday night shows on those apps. And that's the only way to listen to them. We take the news and most of the ads out, mostly. Which means it's quicker to listen to. You'll use less electricity and, by that method, save the planet.
Thank you.
Coming up at four, James Hansen. But first...
It's
Clyde Ball.
thank you very much, Nick. Yes, coming up after the news at one, former Conservative Chancellor Nadim Zahawi has told LBC he doesn't feel safe walking around London. Well, how safe do you feel? And what could make city streets safer? Also, Keir Starmer will make a speech later at the Munich Security Conference saying we're no longer Brexit Britain. And Britain needs a bond with Europe for its security and must reduce its dependence on America. Is he right about that? And do you welcome this apparent shift towards stronger bonds with Europe from Starmer? And today is the 20th anniversary of the launch of Chip and Pin, which did away with written signatures. Have we been too hasty in going digital with our money?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 1 o'clock. The Prime Minister is expected to warn Reform UK and the Green Party would pose a risk to Britain's national security if they came to power. It's also believed he will say they would threaten Europe during an address to this year's Munich Security Conference. On Friday, the French President Emmanuel Macron said the continent must be central to the evolving world order.
How do we build leverage to enter into such discussions in a position of strength? Europe is rearming, but we must now go beyond. Europe has to learn to become a geopolitical power.
It's being suggested Andrew Mountbatten Windsor spoke to a Libyan contact to help arrange a meeting for Jeffrey Epstein. Emails appear to show it was about setting up talks with Colonel Gaddafi in Tripoli during 2010. They also imply contact between the dead paedophile and a royal aide. Andrew has always denied any wrongdoing connected to his relationship with Epstein. Labour MPs have urged the government not to appeal against a High Court ruling on Palestine action. It's declaring the banning of the group as a terrorist organisation was unlawful and disproportionate. It's believed an appeal will be lodged. The Independent MP and former Reform politician Rupert Lowe says he's launching a new political party. The Great Yarmouth representative says it will be called Restore Britain. Yellow weather warnings are still applying to large parts of the UK, along with predictions of heavy snow for some areas. The Met Office says Saturday will see maritime air from the Arctic sweeping across the country. Forecaster John Hammond has been telling LBC many parts of the UK are in for a frosty shock.
We're looking at a very icy start to Valentine's Day. Temperatures close to or below freezing. And in the glens of Scotland, where we've got metres of snow, it's been a phenomenally snowy spell, actually, across the Cairngorms. Here, I'd imagine temperatures will get as low as, what, minus 10 degrees or below.
Michael Lasky has been awarded the King's Gold Medal for Poetry for 2025. The 81-year-old says he was astonished to find out. And in sport, Chelsea have avoided an FA Cup upset with a 4-0 win at Hull in the fourth round. Wrexham have joined them in the fifth round with a 1-0 victory over Ipswich. LBC weather clear for most areas with wintry showers for the northeast and parts of Northern Ireland. Patchy rain and snow will clear overnight from the south of England, with lows typically of around minus 2 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.